If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
Standing O! Standing O!
Anyway, this is Super Dave on The All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
And now...
32,192, take 15.
Well, I gotta get a tattoo at 12:30, and I don't want to be late.
Our feature presentation.
The hell was that?
Comedy.
Gotta get a tattoo at 12:30, and I don't want to be late.
Is that Dean Martin?
It is, but you don't need to know that to enjoy how funny he is.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I thought it might help because I don't get how funny he is.
Yeah,
I'm not
it's
a fan.
Funny
to hear any guy,
that.
Just to hear any guy in a recording studio say, "I got to get a tattoo. I don't want to be late."
That's was he serious?
No, he was just making a joke. Yeah, I just think it's a funny out of context remark for somebody to say.
I got you. That's all. You certainly don't hear old guys talk like that very often.
No,
getting a tattoo.
It's true.
It's 5:31. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, the 8th of January. For those of you that missed it yesterday, because we were off the air for about an hour and a half. well, not off the air, technically. I mean, we usually throw fire with 7 full watts of power. But our generator went out or something happened, and we were on our backup power, which is about half that. So, you know, we could be heard within 3 blocks of this building. Maybe.
Santa Monica, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably
parts,
not, though.
Parts, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lisa, what was that?
Santa Monica!
Nice. Dave did take a lie detector test.
Yes, mm-hmm. He did.
And much to our dismay, passed.
Yeah, he's
telling
the truth.
Although he's a bad lie detector test taker.
Oh, the worst.
He would not do yes or no answers. He just couldn't.
Well, having said that, though, he somehow talked Nick, the polygraph tester, into the fact that he did have sex with her.
He did, yeah.
So
multiple times.
I was just bringing that up because I was watching the video in Lightning's office. He put it up. Lightning was in the studio videotaping. You know, he's Lightning Scorsese.
Yeah.
He's walking along on top of the equipment and crawling on top of the shelves and trying to get every creative shot he can. And got Dave taking the lie detector test and told him the truth.
I'm very sad we were not able to, because of our work schedule, get Yasmin in to be on the lie detector test.
As am I.
Because I would love to know if she regrets it already.
Dude, we have since found out it hasn't been once or twice.
I know.
It's been like 10 times. Well, that's your answer.
But at some point, Dave is not going to be a guy that she's going to look back over the men she chose to give up the nappy dugout to, and she's going to be proud of that. At some point, she's going to go,
"Why do you say
if
that?
I could take that one out, I would."
I don't think so.
You know,
at least I'm sure when you think about the men that you've been with, that you've dated, sometimes just for an hour, that there are some that you wish in retrospect, it might have been a good idea at the time, but there are some you wish you could eliminate from the list, right?
Absolutely. But
yeah.
I was thinking about Dave yesterday. In a way, he's kind of like that gay friend that a lot of women
have.
He's
non-threatening. No, that's true. He's non-threatening.
With benefits. I mean, he's fun to hang out with. You
small
guys like
benefits.
To hang out with him.
Yes, we
Everyone
do.
Everyone likes to hang out with Dave.
Sure.
He's easy to hang out with. He doesn't make a lot of demands. You can go anywhere. He'll do anything. And he's having sex with her. You know, that's not bad.
He's easy going.
Yeah.
So you don't think she'll regret it? You don't
think
she already regrets it?
I think she's having a really good time.
No,
you don't think she wakes up this morning and goes, "Oh, what am I doing?"
No, because I think if a girl sleeps with a guy like more than, I don't know, 5 times, which seems to have happened here.
We're thinking around 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much your answer there.
And sober.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish we could have hooked her up so we could ask questions like, was it disappointing?
Yes.
How did he perform? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What did you do with all the rest of the room in the Magnum condom? Was it socks? You shoved socks in there? What'd you do?
So anyway, that's that happened.
Yeah.
So it's on the video page, huh?
Yep. It's up at the Kevin Amin at K-Rock, and then click on video.
Okay.
And there are highlights there.
In case you missed it.
Lightning has gone video crazy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's thrown himself in wholeheartedly.
Spends most of every day trying to figure out how to put video up there.
Yeah.
That is what people are looking for on the internet, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the content that drives people to your website. That's for sure.
I guess. He's got some crazy plan. Remember we were talking about the cats in the parking lot here?
Yeah.
Which are just out of control. They're just, they're wild cats. No one takes care of them except for when Scott Mason is in town, he feeds them.
Yep.
And they hide under the cars and they run all over the place and they multiply. It's just, it's not a good situation.
What happened to the guy that we found that could we could hire to come out and catch him for us?
I have no idea.
They realized he cost money.
We thought it was funnier to act on our own. I've got a whole plan, some cockamamie scheme that I'm going to put together behind the scenes here.
This was a year ago or more that we had the plan. They would have been long gone if we had gone with that plan instead of waiting around for you to come up with something.
Apparently we didn't. For some reason, we didn't do anything.
I don't know why.
It's because they found out it actually costs money, that it's not a free service, and they said no way. And I don't feel comfortable having Lightning being the guy taking control of the animal situation.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Our building.
Wait a minute. Are they animals or are they cats? Let's clarify.
They're animals.
All right, just check.
What I'm doing is completely humane.
Yes.
I promise you. And Kevin knows about it, and it is.
In your standards, it's humane.
No, it is. It is.
All right.
It's the cats. The cats will be, in this case, better taken care of.
What are you going to do?
Completely unharmed. I'm not saying.
You said it now because it's a terrible plan. No, we wouldn't.
Then you should talk about it.
No, don't worry about it. It'll happen.
Kevin, you cannot be the
backup for Lightning's idea. Come on, somebody reasonable has to be in this process.
I am moving the cats to a better area where they will be taken care of.
That's Scott Mason's backyard, right?
Maybe.
Well, I didn't want to say that. Yes,
I mean we've talked about that a million times on the air before.
So what's the problem?
I didn't know that was on the air. I thought it was just...
I didn't know that that's what Lightning was doing.
How are you going to catch them?
I've got that worked out.
Who's going to do it?
Blow darts?
No, I have possum tracks, traps.
You have what?
Possum traps.
Possum traps.
That's like a little cage that they walk in and then it closes behind them?
And it works, yes. It works great.
Don't we have possums here too?
We do, yeah, but I don't want those.
Oh, all right. Yes, we do. If we're taking them to Scott Mason's house,
we want possums.
Oh, you have to get possums too.
We want everything we can find. You kidding?
You know, I'm glad you brought up those possum cages because I'd forgotten about those because I have a terrible time with raccoons at my house.
Yeah.
Just like crazy, I got raccoons.
I'll come up there with a BB gun any day, dude.
Well, I don't know that that's what I want to do, but maybe I'll look into some of those little cages because I got to do something. They're tearing the hell out of my lawn.
Remember when Bean had his neighbor kill that animal?
No.
Was it a rooster?
It was a rooster.
A rooster?
That was tragic.
And Bean called him and said, "You better take care of this or I will."
Yep.
And the guy
was hardly like that.
And the guy did. And
took care of it.
Killed
it. The traps work well, Bean. And they don't hurt the animal at all. You just walk right in, the gate closes behind them, and you pick it up like a suitcase and take it wherever you need to go.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those. How many cats do you reckon you got to catch?
400.
Honestly,
it's 18.
I was going to say 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Scott Mason's going to be at my house on Friday, so his yard will be available if that's a target for you to shoot for. He'll be out of town.
No, you know what? We don't necessarily want him to be out of town because we want him to take care of him for real.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you throw them all in his backyard, they probably won't be there by the time he gets home.
I think it's walled in. I mean, I think it's a backyard that they can't get out of.
They can't climb out of?
I think.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Our thinking
he'll be home Friday night. He's only out of town. It's only a one-day trip.
Okay,
it'll
I didn't
be
know
fine. But I'm just giving you the all clear on getting to his house, though, and without getting seen.
That's great. I didn't know that. That's fantastic.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right. I approve.
Well, how about that? We can do it now.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So that'll take care of the cat problem. All right. Today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? Let's talk about – that didn't make sense, did it?
Nope.
Seemed like the verb was missing.
Can I take that back? Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel will be on the program today.
Oh, good.
Jimmy, who is going on Jay Leno's show.
That's right.
And Leno.
Jay Leno is going on Jimmy's show.
Yeah. They're already out. It's so sad.
I wonder if that's because they're having trouble getting guests.
I know it is.
I would guess it would be, yes. But even so, it's bizarre.
Competing networks.
Jimmy has been on Dave's show a couple of times prior to him getting his own late night show in competition with
Right.
them. I don't think he's ever been on the Tonight Show before, though, that I know of anyway.
Yeah, I don't know that any of that has happened with competitors. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want Jimmy to ask Jay how come he used to be funny. What happened? He used to be a great, great stand-up, Jay Leno. I haven't seen him do stand-up in a long time, but his show bores me. Anyway, we'll talk to Jimmy Kimmel today about that.
Okay.
We are going to tell you about the LA Jedi Knights, which is a group of about 50 or so Los Angelinos who are Star Wars fans and get together in a park and fight with their fake lightsabers.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Unless they are under 10,
nope.
This is embarrassing.
They drive themselves?
Not only not under 10, but they have girlfriends and wives, and one of the girlfriends, or wives, I don't know, was interviewed on this news piece. We're going to talk to the news reporter as well on Channel 9. And she said, well, you know, I'm glad he's getting outside and getting some exercise. to her, that was a good sign just because he was in the sun for a bit. So anyway, we're going to talk about that today. I love that. Bean told us yesterday that he regularly reads the obituaries.
Yeah.
Which we found a little weird.
You know, I only know of old people who do that. But like really old people who are retired.
See, I don't know anyone who does that.
And I don't even know. I think they're looking for their friends.
Oh, see if they know anyone who died?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I said to Bean yesterday, I says, you 3-4 times a week? Oh, at least.
Mm-hmm.
At least. And I found that odd because obituaries tend to depress me.
He thinks it's the most interesting part of the paper.
It is pretty interesting. It is neat to see what's left of somebody's life in a few paragraphs after they're gone.
Usually it's destruction, Bean.
What are you going to be remembered for? That's really what it's about.
Okay. All right.
Not much is my answer.
Seems like a bummer. But anyway, we'll talk to people. I'm sure there are other people who read the obituaries. I'm sure.
Sure.
So that happens a lot. Jim Barry, we're going to talk to you. He's at the CES show. It's going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
Ask him about the new electronics that are being featured this year. I don't know what really is new this year. I don't know if anything is.
Yeah. I haven't heard of a lot of breakthrough stuff yet, although I did see one piece on CNN yesterday from the show where they're talking about all the neat things that you can now do that are voice activated with your car. Apparently, they're introducing a lot of new things this year. Like you've seen that commercial where the guy calls out the band he wants to hear on his, from his stereo.
Oh, right.
Play Foo Fighters. And right. Then the thing, more stuff like that apparently is coming for in-car entertainment. So maybe, at least that's one thing that I've seen so far.
And they always. Was the bad example that – did you see that the TV commercial? Is that the one you're talking about in the car?
I mentioned that that's an example of the sort of thing that I think that they're doing more with at the CES is in-auto commands that you can do with your voice.
Was the funny part of that commercial, the in-auto command, was that the guy in the passenger seat shouting Barry Manilow and it was finding it? Wasn't that the funny part
of it? I think it was
Michael Bolton. Michael Bolton. That's what it was. Shoot, I couldn't remember which
one
it was. Yeah, you just call it out, and it goes to play it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very.
So anyway, we'll talk to Jim Barry about the new electronics that are coming up. Dr. Phil, breaking into the hospital, trying to get Britney Spears out. Odd. highlights of the King of Mexico's lie detector test coming up just after the top of the hour. And we have your Breakfast with Foo Fighters tickets. Coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, your chance to win comes up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Hey, Mike, this is Jared. Stop with the noise. Yes. You're freaking me out.
Yes, please.
Freaking us all out. God's Kevin and Bean Show, 5:49. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
How are things in Hollywood today?
Things in Hollywood are shiny and smell of mint.
Really, mint?
Yes.
Right. That's good, I guess.
I don't know why, but they do. See Mike Huckabee on Letterman last night? This guy's making the rounds, isn't he?
No, is that the presidential candidate?
This is Mike Huckabee, mm-hmm. who won the Iowa caucus, is the now the front leader for the Republican nomination for president. He was on Jay Leno last week. Mm-hmm. It was a big brouhaha because he crossed the picket lines there. No such trouble for him at Letterman, of course, because there are no... they've made a deal with the WGA, so he showed up.
Right.
And it was quite the show last night, Letterman. He shaved his beard off live on television.
Oh, thank God. He looks so
tonight.
Stupid.
That was the night last night, huh?
Yeah. They brought out a team of barbers who went at him with the...
Weed whacker?
Weed whacker first to get it down to a reasonable length. And then the other barber shaved him with a straight razor. You know, there's no shave like a straight razor.
I don't know that.
Unless they cut your lip.
Did they?
They came back after commercial and just blood was pouring down from his upper lip. He said, see, this is what I was talking about. This is why I didn't want to do it. Now look at me. Look like I was in a knife fight, he said.
Imagine being that guy you cut Letterman on TV.
That's not good for anybody.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
What do you think of this Huckabee? He's too much God and not enough Constitution for my taste.
I would like a little more Constitution in the mix as well.
I believe in evolution.
I don't know God, but I would like a president who at least maybe stays out of the whole evolution.
Yes, that would be nice.
Creative magic, you know, debate.
Jimmy Kimmel showed a picture last night of he and his family when they were all, there wasn't one of them under 250 pounds, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah. Way just big, fat
big
guy.
Big family?
big fat wife, big fat kids. they may have all slimmed down now that they're in their spotlight, but it was kind of funny.
The reason I bring all this up, of course, is because Mike Huckabee has his biggest celebrity cheerleader, the man he says he will send into any foreign policy problem to kick some ass, Chuck Norris. I don't know if you've seen the commercials with Mike Huckabee and Chuck Norris standing side by side.
I saw him when Huckabee was giving his speech after the Iowa caucus. There was Chuck Norris and his wife standing right behind
him. Chuck Norris?
Chuck is like his best buddy. Yep. They're hanging out constantly.
What?
Yeah.
They just know each other.
Reason not to vote for Mike Huckabee, in my opinion.
Are you kidding? Chuck Norris, vice president.
Who's Steven Seagal voting for? That's what I want to know. How about Jeff Speakman? Who's he talking to?
Were they just friends off?
I have no idea how the connection originated.
That's so bizarre.
So naturally, everyone's starting to talk about all these celebrity cheerleaders for the major candidates. You know who John McCain had up over the weekend to do some pitching for him?
Mm-mm.
Wilford Brimley.
No.
Really? He's still alive?
The cranky oatmeal and diabetes pitch man.
I thought he died.
Standing by John McCain's side. So trying to get that elusive geriatric vote. So good move, John. Once again, in a series of clever campaign moves, John McCain steps to the fore with the Wilford Brimley connection.
All right, so we have Chuck Norris, Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. I know John Edwards got Tim Robbins on his side.
Well, at least he's somebody that's the best celebrity.
Sort of, best celebrity
so far.
High-end, politically activated dude.
I think Edwards has John Mellencamp, too, has been doing some campaigning and some singing for him.
Well, there you go. But Wilford Brimley, my favorite of Wilford all. Wilford Brimley. Pitch, man. So, there you go. Dr. Phil decided to cancel his plans for the so-called Britney intervention show that was supposed to air today.
Oh, that's big of him.
He apparently says he wants to, you know, give the Spears family their privacy. Now that he spent an hour on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider last night talking about it.
Yeah.
He canceled the show because he doesn't have Britney.
Well, there's that, too.
Or
the family.
Her.
He says he was there at Britney's hospital under bedside at the behest of the Spears family, Lynn and Jamie Spears, her parents.
I got to tell you,
he says he's been working with her for a long time. You just don't know about it.
But a hospital shouldn't allow that. If she's an adult, if she's at an adult age, they shouldn't let him in. I don't care what the parents want.
My favorite part of the whole story, he claims that the Spears family begged him to go step in and do a little help.
Right.
Last weekend when she was in the hospital, Spears family not at her bedside.
They weren't?
No. Lynn was back in Louisiana taking Jamie Lynn, their pregnant 16-year-old, to GED classes.
Right.
And ex-husband of Lynn, Jamie, the father, was shopping at a Big Lot kind of store. They caught him in the parking lot asking him what he thought about the whole situation. He was busy loading groceries.
Wow. Sometimes you need stuff, Ralph.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
If this was a fictional tale, if this was a movie about a pop star and her family going down the drain, you would say, you got to do a rewrite.
You're pushing it.
You got to pull it. What, the 16-year-old sister, now she's pregnant, and she's getting her GED like a hillbilly? Come on.
Mom's writing a book on parenting.
It's just ridiculous. Please. When's the writer's strike going to be over so we can get a rewrite on this script? No one would buy it.
Dr. Phil showing up saying,
"You got a problem, lady."
Indeed. After months of denying that she's pregnant, Nicole Kidman says she's pregnant.
How about that? What a surprise.
She's finally admitted to OK Magazine that she and hubby Keith Urban are expecting a baby, and the two say they're thrilled over the news, which is really just shocking, because how many parents do you know they're thrilled? Oh, wait a minute. This is like every other parent and every other baby ever had on the planet Earth.
Interesting to note that Nicole can get pregnant, yet adopted two children when she's married to Tom Cruise.
What do you mean by that?
Wow.
F you effing bitch.
Oh, my God.
You think on their honeymoon night, you know, Tom walked into the bedroom and presented Nicole with a ice cube tray full of Elrond. And she said, "What are you, high? Get your midget ass out of here with that." But Katie said, "Okay, all right." Took some Elrond on the rocks. This is going to get much worse before it gets better.
What is? Brittany?
Zac Efron did an interview.
Yes.
Well, Bean probably read it because it was in 17 magazine.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'm sure Bean probably cuts out the pictures and pastes them on his wall in the spank room.
I'm not going to say I did, but is this one where he talks about his celebrity crushes?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm getting at, Bean.
I did see that one, yeah.
This is, when I tell you who his celebrity crush is, you'll know why things are getting worse for all of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, except for Bean.
Who's his celebrity crush? Barry Manilow?
No. It's a woman. But just do a little math in your head. And figure out if Bean's excited about his celebrity crush, who do you think Zac Efron's celebrity crush is?
Betty White?
No.
No.
Realistically.
Okay.
Legitimately.
I don't know.
Rachel Nichols?
No. Tyra freaking Banks.
Oh, no.
Really?
That is so true, Dick.
Really?
Tyra Banks is Zac Efron's celebrity crush.
Wow. Something else we have in common.
What a horrible choice. Really?
As if things weren't bad enough. Now Zac Efron loves Tyra Banks, too, and Bean loves Zac Efron. It's just one big incestuous circle.
We're a very happy threesome. Oh, that'd be the best threesome ever.
You're a very happy twosome without Tyra, by the way.
Well, that's true also.
Zach says also in the interview that he secretly loves the movie Sleepless in Seattle.
Hey.
What's that, Ralph?
Nothing. Just had a little cough. And he got his first kiss when he was in a tree fort in the fifth grade during a round of Truth or Dare. No word on the boy's name, but he decided to keep that private.
He's so straight.
Yeah, he just screams straight, that guy.
You're going to have
What about his hot little girlfriend, Vanessa Hudgens, though? How do you explain
beard.
That?
Beard. If you're going to have a one-night stand, maybe you want to be a little bit more selective about who you bang.
Uh-oh.
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, Lindsay Lohan, sorry.
Lindsay Lohan!
What happened?
Slept with a guy in Italy when she was out there for New Year's.
Oh, that's the guy you reported she was making out with.
She was rolling all over a chaise lounge at an outdoor party there in Italy, and they have all kinds of photographs of her just like dry humping him. Alessandro D'Annunzio is his name, and he's already blabbed.
Oh, good.
He says the starlet and Alessandro spent the night together after only 6 hours of knowing each other. He says that Lindsay was experienced, adventurous, had a great body, and was flexible.
Flexible?
That's what you look for in a one-night stand.
Lindsay Lohan!
He also says that you shouldn't probably believe the story coming out from the Lindsay camp that one swig of champagne she had at the party was the only alcohol she consumed while in Italy.
Uh-oh.
Alessandro says she downed vodka and cranberry all night long during their tryst.
Is that good for rehab?
Yes, that's what
it
they
is
recommend.
Good. Okay.
Because it's vodka
right.
to pollute the liver,
uh-huh.
and then the cranberry flushes it right out.
Oh, of course.
There's a lot of vitamin C.
So it's a net just zero.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
It's a zero-sum game. So it all
I imagine New Year's Eve is very tough for recovering alcoholics because that's the one night you just expect to drink.
Yeah, you know what I don't do if I'm recovering alcoholic? It's New Year's Eve and I'm on the precipice of my sobriety? Probably don't go to a big boozy party in Italy.
Right.
I maybe have some friends over to the house and break out the Scrabble board and light a fire and watch Dick
it does
Fox
sound like you, Ralph.
Strokey New Year. No, it doesn't sound like me because I'm not a recovering alcoholic, but if I were,
right.
I probably wouldn't put myself in a situation where the vodka and cranberry and champagne was flowing like a babbling brook.
You do lose that one before you begin, it seems like.
That's what I would think. You're setting yourself up for failure in that particular
That is so true, Dick.
Thank you so much. You know, everyone's talking about weight loss. Everybody gained a lot of weight over the holidays? Fat.
Probably, yeah.
Fat. Well, Us Weekly magazine talks about the most successful celebrity dieters of 2007 as we go into the new year. Kimberly Locke last year lost 40 pounds. She, of course, from American Idol.
Oh, I didn't recognize the name.
Yeah. Leanne Rimes lost about 30 pounds. She did it by eating less and working out.
Oh, what? Please, that's absurd.
Not a diet.
Madness. But here's my favorite one. You know Debbie Mazar, who plays the publicist on Entourage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my favorite character actors.
Yeah, she's
great. Really talented. She lost 80 pounds.
80 in 1 year?
She was pregnant, gained a ton of weight, and then had the baby and lost 80 pounds.
Wow.
In 1 year.
Was it a 45-pound baby?
It was. It was a it was a four-year-old. She had a long gestation.
Does it say how she did it?
She says that she got one of those meal services. You know, they bring the meals to your house.
Yep. Or where they measure out the
calories
or whatever.
All you do is eat what they bring you. You don't eat anything else. Called Fresh Dining, apparently, was the name of her service. And she was working out 3 times a week for about an hour each time doing Pilates and weights and whatnot. So,
okay,
once again, I guess
she was serious about it.
Just working out. But 80 pounds. Pretty impressive. And it's all over for the Golden Globes. Maybe you heard yesterday they gave a... gave an announcement that the Golden Globes Awards has been canceled. There will be no Golden Globes TV show because no one was going to come. The writer's strike was creating a situation where the Screen Actors Guild said none of its 75 nominated members would show up for the ceremony in support for the writers.
Why?
Dude. And so that was the end of that. Now it's going to be a hour-long press conference where they will announce the winners and NBC News will cover it live.
What?
Yes.
Are the winners going to be there?
No.
So they're going to make an announcement. They're going to say a name.
They're going to put it on television. It's going to be a press conference that's going to be on television.
Without,
live.
But they won't be able to, winners won't walk up. They won't be able to ask.
There'll be no winners there. It'll be an hour-long conference.
That's going to be good.
Where they announce
so it'll
names.
Just be a guy standing up there going, and the nominees for best actor are, and
right.
then he'll read the winner.
And the winner is?
And the winner will be at home watching it and finding out that's how he won.
Yes.
Then the guy will say, okay. Any questions? And nobody will raise their hand. They'll move on.
It's good television.
I would imagine that the Oscars have got to be in somebody's sights at this point if the Golden Globes can be canceled, which I never thought would happen, by the way. That what's going to happen with the Oscars?
Yeah, they got to be worried. To wait and see.
Hey,
it's a horrible idea. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about a little movie that I'm very excited about. It's called Cloverfield.
Yes.
Opens on January the 18th.
This looks good.
K-Rock is having a special screening. You get to see it before anybody else. January the 17th, we're going to have a special K-Rock screening. I have tickets that I'll be giving away all morning long. So that if you don't win here, keep calling in. Tune in for the Showbiz Beat on each and every hour. I'll be giving away tickets. I've got two pairs of tickets right now to give away. J.J. Abrams, of course, is the creator and producer of this film.
True.
That is true, yes. He's our pal, of course, created Alias. He's one of the co-producers of Lost, a very storied television and film career. I'd like to know, here's the trivia question, what does J.J. stand for? What does J.J. stand for in J.J. Abrams? If you have the correct answer, call now 1-800-520-1067. The first two callers with the correct answer get a pair of tickets to go see the special K-Rock screening of Cloverfield. You get to see some sort of freaking monster.
Terror, can't tell what it is, right?
Tear New York City to bits. And I got an angry email yesterday and said, some guy said, you're a jackhole. It's Godzilla, you idiot. Didn't you hear it's the new Godzilla movie? And it's not. It's not the Godzilla movie. Apparently, JJ was inspired. He was in Japan with his kid, and they went to a toy store, and there's 9 million Godzilla toys. You know, it's still a huge character over there in Japan.
Right.
And he looked at these things and said, you know, Godzilla's an iconic horror monster movie character. We don't really don't have anything like that in the States. We've got King Kong, but he's sort of a lovable, you know, he's a, you know, a sympathetic character.
Right.
We need some intense, freaking scary monsters. So he's created his own, and it will appear in Cloverfield.
I like it.
Should be good times. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays, will we? All right, we will. it's a star-studded list today, a real good one. One of my favorites.
Okay.
You got Bob Eubanks, game show host from The Newlywed Game. Classic. That'd be in the butt, Bob.
Sure.
He's now hosting a live game show in Vegas.
I saw the billboard for that over the weekend, yeah.
You go there and...
With Jamie Farr, I think.
Well, they rotate hosts.
Oh, they do, okay.
Yeah, depends on what show you go to. You either get Bob Eubanks as your host, Chuck Woolery, or
right.
Jamie Farr from TV's MASH.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's what Bob's doing now. He's 70 years old today. Stephen Hawking, legendary scientist and all-around good dancer, 66 years old today. David Bowie is 61 years old today.
Oh, no.
Oh, if I had more time, how I'd launch into
maybe
a show over there. Exhibit, the rapper. Puberty sucks. Is 34 years old today. R. Kelly, another one of our favorites.
Oh, my God.
Is 41.
What a day.
Wow.
R.
Kelly. It's loaded. And Rachel Nichols. Speaking of J.J. Abrams.
Oh, you can't act like you're interested in Rachel Nichols if you're interested in Zac Efron.
I love Rachel Nichols.
Who played Rachel Gibson on Alias. She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph, what's your name?
Frank?
Hit it, Steve.
What the hell?
You just called Ralph Frank.
You have a stroke?
I'm not feeling very well. I'm sorry.
Well, how do you think I'm feeling now? You called me Frank.
Who the hell's Frank?
Frank?
What?
I don't know.
Were you looking at something else? Or
looking at a hot
not
dog?
That I'm aware of.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. Cynthia in Los Angeles.
Cynthia, what does JJ stand for in J.J. Abrams?
Jeffrey Jacob,
yes. Indeed. Did you know that? You have to look it up.
I'm not saying.
It's okay. We don't penalize you for using Google. It's okay.
All right. I use IMDb.
You get to see the movie girl. With Frank. Congratulations.
Yes. You get to see it with me, Frank. Radio's Frank. Freaking Frank. I'm Frank Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
15 to get rid of this looter.
10-4. What you have just heard is an actual CB conversation.
That's true.
Remember when we tried to bring that back in the early part of the 21st century? We were the guys who were going to bring CB radios back. But like so many other great ideas, it failed. It's 6:45 on Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KRQ. Are we really going to play this game again? Are we really going to subject people up at this hour of the morning to these guys?
Well, here's the thing. We have Breakfast with Foo Fighters on Monday. And if you don't win tickets, you can listen to it here on K-Rock. It's going to be Monday live. And we're going to give you some tickets right now. But you have to earn them because you're going to help us do the interview. So we need to make sure that you're Foo Fighter fans. You get to ask the questions, Tiny Little Place, Monday, and we're going to do it. You have to identify the song with the Orchestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Time for the bit now. Sorry.
Nicely done. No time for the tickets now. Dave and Mike, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So with your mouths, you make all that sound. That's what we're to believe here?
That's right. We're magicians with our mouths.
Why do you all of a sudden have an English accent? What happened?
we are the orchestra maestros, remember.
Okay. What are your names?
Sir Aidan von Dickering and my friend Duke Dickshire Worthington.
Okay, good.
All right.
You know, guys, that would work a little better if you didn't introduce yourselves as Dave and Mike at the beginning of the intro.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point, yes.
Just a thought.
I want to hear Dave do some of that English accent, too. Dave, what do you got to say to us?
Chip, chip, cheerio, crumpets of tea.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Here's the way it works with the Orchestra de la Raza. They're going to do a Foo Fighters song with their mouths. You'll have to identify the song. If you do, you go into a drawing to see who wins the tickets. I have a feeling we won't get a lot of winners, but we'll try anyway. Let's go to Mike in Ontario. Mike, you're up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Orchestra de la Raza is going to do a Foo Fighters song for you. You have to identify it. Go ahead, guys.
Here we go.
That's plenty, guys. That's plenty. Thank you. Thank you.
I think we got it. Mike?
Mike?
Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Just give us a title.
Oh, I'll give you one more clue, by the way. They're not obviously singing the lyrics or that part. They're doing the musical part of it.
Right.
All right, what song was that?
I'm going to go with Pretender.
Sorry, it's... Monkey Wrench.
Yeah, it sounds like Monkey Wrench right there. Nice try, though, Mike. Thanks for playing. Let's go to contestant number two is Robert in Laverne. Robert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for the Orchestra de la Raza?
Si, senor.
Si, senor. All right, gentlemen.
Here we go.
All right, I think we get the idea. All right. We get it.
Okay, guys, thank you. Let's let Robert make a guess here.
Why?
Robert, what Foo Fighters song are they doing there?
Say Little Nicky. Say it again. Nicky. Little Nicky.
Say it again. Figure out the real title.
Nicky.
Yes, but there's another word in it. You have to get it correct. Something Nicky. Come on!
That's Little Nicky.
No!
No, that was an Adam Sandler movie. I'm sorry. We were looking for Darling Nicky was the song they were doing.
Oh, that hurts.
That's so close. So close.
I think we gave him enough opportunities, though, to understand he needed another word there.
Yeah.
Shoot.
We do need the exact title. That's true. 1-800-520-1067. Mario, please don't make the same mistake the last contestant did. Listen very closely to the Orchestra de la Raza, okay?
All right. There I'll try my best.
Here we go.
Okay. All right. That's fine, gentlemen. Thank you.
I hope the guys are in town listening to this, by the way.
Is this a good use of a radio station in Los Angeles, California's time, by the way, in facilities?
No, of course not. Mario, name that Foo Fighters song, please.
My Hero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nicely done. This is it.
Beautiful.
I know it didn't sound anything like that, but congratulations.
That's a You're very impressive, Mario. Hang on. You may have won tickets into our breakfast and tickets to the March 6th show at the Forum before it even goes on sale, too. So stand by.
You know what, Bean? We're actually late enough that we have three pair. So we'll give Mario a pair. We have two left.
Okay.
Okay.
So all right,
great.
The next two to get them correct will also get into the breakfast. Christy?
Yes?
In Arrowhead. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Orchestra de la Raza.
Boom 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 boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom.
All right, let's do this.
We have one more pair of tickets for the breakfast. Here we go. Orchestra de la Raza.
Jun 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 jun.
I always hope somebody's alarm goes off right in the middle of that. What the hell is happening?
That's what the song sounds like if they were on drugs when they recorded it.
Roland? Get it right, you will be at our breakfast Monday.
Is it Back the Backers?
I don't even know what you said, but All My Life is what we were looking for. And it sounded a lot like it, I thought, this time.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, we got to go to another one now. Oh, man, that hurts. All right, let's go to Jamie in Riverside. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
Please get this one right. Orchestra de la Raza.
All right, the orchestra is running out of steam. JB, make us proud. What Foo Fighter song are they doing there?
Oh, crap.
Come on, Jamie. Just think about the Foo Fighter songs that we haven't said yet that we play.
I know.
Could you name one for us, maybe? Just
oh, I'm sorry?
Name a Foo Fighter song. We got to get an answer from you.
The Pretender.
Sorry. We're looking for Learn to Fly is what we wanted there.
I got to tell you, sorry, Jamie, thank you for playing. I got to tell you, though, I didn't recognize most of those, and I'm looking at the answers. I think it was a bad performance this morning.
How dare you.
And yet Mario and Christy will be there. So
yes.
Congratulations to both of them. We have
the
more
true
tickets.
Fans.
We have more tickets coming up later this morning for the Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Thanks for playing.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
My wife's there right now. CES.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
What's she doing?
Banging a bunch of guys.
Modeling?
Oh, okay.
Just no,
went there to bang?
The manufacturers sometimes will invite the movie studios out to come see the new technology because usually there's some sort of tie-in with home video and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So my wife works for one of the studios, and they invited several of them out, and she was one of the representatives going for the studio. So
how about that?
Nice little boondoggle there. Nice little business trip. Oh, we have to go to Vegas for CES for the week. Oh, isn't that a drag?
I'm home with
the freaking dog humping my leg.
You and Reggie, you're bachelor padding it, right?
Yeah, we're hanging out, you know. I bring a bitch over for him, one for me.
I've been to the CES, by the way. You don't have anything to worry about in the man department.
No, I don't think so.
She's not going to be
You're quite
doing.
Lovely. I wonder if I could possibly buy you a Cosmopolitan or a Gibson.
Yeah, a lot of that going on. So.
Yeah, you're safe.
Me and Reggie. Reggie's so cool, by the way. We have a little time to bond, just, you know, me and Reg.
Sure.
Because, you know, the wife gets in the way all the time. You know, he loves her, she loves him. It's like, I had two of them, and I'm left out in the cold. So
right.
Now me and Reg are hanging.
Trying to turn Reg against her in the week that she's gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I show her pictures of him and I whip him and stuff. And I attack her when he
attack!
Comes home.
Bad lady.
Yeah, he's cool because he's settling into being a dog now. He's coming out of puppy zone and getting into, like, dog zone, which is where I've always wanted him. which basically means I just want him to lay on the couch.
And leave you alone?
That's what I want. I want him just to, well, I can watch TV and he just lays next to me. That's what I'm shooting for as a goal.
Not just get a stuffed animal.
Running around. Trust me, I think about stuffing Reggie.
Just get a stuffed dog.
I want to surprise my wife when she gets home. I want to have him killed and stuffed.
Does he
to surprise him to the taxidermist.
Hey, honey, check this
Look
out.
Look how calm he is now, honey. Did you have him fixed? Well, in a way.
Stay, Reggie, stay.
In a sense, I had him fixed.
No more pesky walks or anything like that.
Involved some sort of operation. I can give you that much.
He doesn't poop when you hear a bell anymore, though, does he?
That's right. He does not. All right. Let's get to it because I'm running late. I have tickets to give away to, oh, I can't wait to see this movie. It's called Cloverfield. Looks to be one of the most exciting movies of the year. It is a monster movie, a good old-fashioned monster movie, but it's clever in the sense that it's completely shot from the angle of the people who go through the disaster. It's done with like a handheld video camera.
So it's like you're watching it.
It's as if the disaster's over and you walk along the street and you pick up a mini DVD camera and you pop it in and this is what you see.
So I like it.
Looks pretty cool. J.J. Abrams, of course, is the creator-producer of this feature film. We've got a special screening Thursday, January the 17th at the Grove there in the near the Farmer's Market. And you get to see it before anybody else. So that's pretty cool. I've got two pairs of tickets right now. If you can answer this trivia question, according to J.J. Abrams, what does Cloverfield mean? Hmm. Why do they call the movie Cloverfield? Hmm. Call now, 1-800-520-1067 if you know the answer. First two callers to get through with the right answer get a pair of tickets. It's just that simple. Little news on the next James Bond movie, which is currently being called Bond 22, because I don't have a title for it, but it will be the 22nd James Bond movie. Daniel Craig returning as 007. Dame Judi Dench once again coming back as Bond's boss, M.
Stop it with the bell.
Just the saying. Interesting news, though, is who's going to be the next Bond girl. Uh-oh. And I bring this up because I know Kevin will pitch a tent.
No.
And nothing makes me happier than Kevin pitching a tent.
Me either.
She is an actress model named Olga Kurylenko.
Oh!
Now, Kevin, I'm sure that name means nothing to
nothing.
You.
No.
But if I mention the movie Hitman with Timothy Oliphant, and I say to you, tattoo on the face.
She had a tattoo on her face, and she looked sexy. How do you pull that off?
She's going to be the next Bond girl.
All right, then.
She's playing a character named Camille in the film.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Another British newcomer, an actress named Gemma Arterton, who's also just smoking hot. She'll play the other Bond girl. So good things to look forward to in Bond 22.
Fantastic.
Britney Spears is, what can you say? At this point, she's just...
A mess?
Spiraling down.
I mean, every day now, there's something new. Every day. And I said it at the beginning of the year. Girls, pace yourself.
Yep. You've got a long year.
It's going to be a long 2008. Apparently, Britney had a flat tire on her Mercedes CLK while driving down Sunset Boulevard.
Jeez, what a bitch.
No, that's not the part. She passed at least one service station, according to CBS News, and then opted, instead of trying to get it fixed, just to ditch the car in the left lane of an overpass over the 405.
Are you serious?
In the left lane?
Yeah. She just pulled over, got out, and accepted a ride from a paparazzo who was following her taking pictures. And just abandoned the car.
Just left it there.
That's no pulling off to maybe the side of the road where it would not be in the way of other oncoming traffic?
No.
I don't think she has any sense that anyone else exists, by the way.
Highway Patrol and local police had to surround the car, guide traffic around it, make sure an impound tow truck was called to clear the lane.
Yeah, they should have just
walked away from her Mercedes. Apparently not.
They should have just lit it on fire.
They should have just blown it up.
She could have pulled into that service station and had the tire fixed, though.
Absolutely.
Right, that she drove past.
I think maybe she just doesn't know how things work. Maybe she just doesn't know how the world works.
She's still that clueless?
She thinks we just ditch cars when they stop working.
This one's broken, y'all. I'm going to get a new one.
She probably had the paparazzi take her to a car dealership and just buy another one.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the latest in the Spears saga. Just freaking unbelievable. You know, maybe we're failing our youth. Maybe we're creating these monsters.
You think?
I don't know. Interesting interesting top 10 list coming out of a London newspaper where they asked kids, this is in England, but I'm sure it's the same in the States, what are the 10 most important things?
10 most important things in life?
Yes.
Okay.
Number 10 was heaven and or God.
That was 10. Okay.
God needs a PR guy. God may need extreme makeover because he's not doing too well in the polls. Number 9 was watching movies.
Gates of God. That's head of God?
Yes.
Wow.
Number eight, nice food. Number eight. You want some nice food in movies, right?
Sure.
Number seven was friends.
Okay.
That's good. Number six was family.
Six.
Six on the top 10 list.
Okay.
This is kids age 10 to 15, I believe.
Best thing in the world. Okay.
Best things in the world. Most important things in the world. Number five, pop music.
Over
ahead of friends and family.
Yes.
Okay.
And God. Number four, being healthy. Well, look, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything, right?
Sure.
Number four.
Hold on a sec. What can be ahead of being healthy, friends and family?
Yeah. You want to know the top three?
Yes. Sure.
Number three, being rich.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Number two, good looks.
And can I guess?
You can guess number one.
Boobs.
No.
Not boobs, no. Number one, being a celebrity.
Yep. Oh!
Number one!
Being famous, the most important thing in the world.
10, God. One, famous.
God, 10, famous, one.
Dude.
Just want to let you know where the kids' heads are at these days.
All right, then.
As we say.
Famous, rich, and good-looking. Those are the best things.
Yeah.
I have answered your trivia question here,
Kevin made that list.
How dare you. Let's go to John in Ventura. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How's it going?
Very good. Thanks.
John, what does Cloverfield mean according to J.J. Abrams?
Cloverfield is the government's code name for whatever monster it is.
And that's the government designation for the monster. That's what they call Project Cloverfield.
Yeah,
well
you.
Done.
So there you go. Well done. You got a pair of tickets. You're going to see the movie before anybody else.
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
As did Brian from Palmdale.
Congratulations, guys. Wow, I'm running late. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bob Eubanks from The Newlywed Game is 70 years old today. Stephen Hawking. You know, that's how he rolls. He's 66 years old today. David Bowie's 61. R. Kelly's 41. Exhibit turns 34. And Rachel Nichols from Alias is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Jimmy Kimmel on the program today, and more chances for you to win your way into Breakfast with Foo Fighters. Kevin, you were in Las Vegas over the weekend. Yeah. How on earth could you come back knowing the Consumer Electronics Show was starting on Monday?
It's unfortunately, they changed it to Monday to Thursday, so it's not even over either weekend.
Well, that was terrible.
Bastards. But the Consumer Electronics Show is going on in Las Vegas. The spokesman is Jim Barry. We've had him on the program many times before. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you? Sorry about that scheduling, but next year we'll be back to Thursday through Sunday.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Good.
It's the way
good.
The calendar falls and the dates and all that. It's way above my pay grade. I don't know how they do it.
I got you. All right.
Now, we got a bunch of stuff we want to talk to you about, Jim, and I know you do as well. But I have to ask, because I did not see clips from it, but I understand the most star-studded video presentation ever was made by Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates yesterday. Who did he have in his video?
I did not see his video. I know Ryan Seacrest is here today in somebody else's video.
Yes,
but he had just about everybody. The thing about Gates was his is the swan song. You know, he's been doing this pre CES keynote speech for the last 10 years or so, and now he's stepping away from day to day at Microsoft to spend more time with his charitable foundation. So they here's have been doing some other stuff. I missed him. And
here's a list. Here's a list for you, Jim. Steven Spielberg was in his video. John Stewart, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Jay-Z, Bono, just to name a few. I mean, the guy's got some friends, doesn't he?
Well, that's a pretty heavy list there, yeah. But then he's covering a number of bases there, having both Hillary and Obama.
Yeah, either way, he's good.
Now, with him stepping away from Microsoft, will there be that much different for us, the consumers, or is it going to be business as usual there?
I think it'll be business as usual. I don't think he's going to be disappearing from Microsoft.
Right.
You know, he's going to be putting his focus on his charitable foundation. So,
Do you need me to do the pre-speech?
There's an idea.
Okay.
There's an idea. We'll run that one up the CEA flag.
Sure. Let them know. Let us know what they say.
Yeah.
He's calling it a pre-speech. I think that should be the answer to your question right there. What's the buzz on the floor in Las Vegas this year, Jim?
Well, a couple of things. TV, the thinnest and the biggest TVs you're ever going to want to see. The last couple of years has been the mine's bigger than your kind of deal with the television sets, the flat panels.
Right.
And last year, Panasonic had the 108-inch plasma. This year, they just blew it completely out of the water with a 150-inch, a 7.5-foot plasma display.
Plasma?
Not yet priced, but I think whenever they price it, they'll have to, for me, they would have to price in also the new house I'd have to buy.
Yeah, they,
no kidding.
I think they just put all of it, is what they put for how much.
Is there such a thing as a TV screen that's too big? I mean, will we get to that point where it's just not feasible to make them that big anymore?
Well, as a consumer product, I think, certainly. You know, the marketing guys say between 40 and 50 inches is the sweet spot. That's where most of these flat panels are sold, the plasmas and the LCD, between 42 and 50 inches. Because in most of our households, in most homes, that's a really big screen. And, you know, last year was the first year that we bought more flat panels, plasma and LCD, than picture tube sets. They've been predicting that. Some people have been predicting that in TV for 50 years or wishing for it, and it finally came about last year. And the other really cool thing they showed here is even slimmer sets. Pioneer showed a 50-inch plasma that was only a third of an inch thick.
A third of an inch?
Yeah, very, very, very thin. And then the next generation is being previewed here. It's a thing called OLED, which is organic light emitting diode. You don't have to know what that is, except that what it gives you in a TV is terrific picture quality, much brighter. It gives you much thinner. The one they have here from Sony, it's an 11-inch that is the thickness of two credit cards. The next generation of those, they're saying, will be ones that you can roll up or fold up. Now, there's an 11-inch TV that's going to be out in a couple of months for $2,500. So you say, you know, that's an awful lot of money for a small TV. But you guys may remember, you know, a dozen years or so ago here when the first plasma displays were showed, they were $25,000 to $50,000. So the prices will come down on those.
Now, what about the whole battle between Blu-ray and HD DVD? Is there any word out of there?
Big news on that. We may be seeing the beginning of the end, because on Friday, Warner Brothers announced that they, who was one of the leading HD DVD movie studios, said, you know what, we're going to go to Blu-ray. So that's a really big blow to HD DVD. And it's, you know, this is going to take a little while to play out. The HD DVD group, a trade group, had a press conference scheduled here, which they canceled. So they're retrenching. It's a big, big step forward for Blu-ray.
Do you have a preference, Jim? Your eyes are probably better at discerning differences in formats than mine would be. When you look at an HD DVD next to a Blu-ray, is there one that looks significantly better to you?
There really is not a discernible difference. It's kind of, you know, people always compare this to Beta and VHS way back when Beta actually was measurably better, but most people couldn't see that difference either because, well, way back then, most of us were watching TV on 19 or 21-inch screens.
Right.
So, but there's really not much of a discernible difference. You know, what it really comes down to, why this is such big news this week, is it's the movie studios, which one they're backing, because we don't watch those boxes. We watch the movies.
Right.
We want to watch the movies. That's what we want to watch.
How long till all TV channels on my satellite or cable are broadcast in only HD?
Well, not only HD. It won't be only HD, but it will be only digital. The digital TV, the new system, which is used in cable and satellite, means it uses computer code, and the best digital is high definition. All televisions that are sold now have digital tuners built in. That's a requirement. And next February 17th, is the last day of analog broadcast. So your TV stations will be giving back their analog channel, broadcasting only in digital. So if you get your TV through cable or satellite, not to worry. If you get TV over the air with an antenna on the roof or good old rabbit ears, what you'll need to do, if you haven't bought a new TV by next year, you'll need a little converter box. It's about the size of a cigar box. They're showing a lot of them here. And you plug your antenna into one side and plug the other side into your TV.
Is that expensive? How much?
It's going to be, the ones they're showing here, they say it'll be $50 to $60. But the federal government is going to give anybody that applies for them two $40 coupons towards the price of those. So you can actually start applying for those right now at online or writing in for those. And those will be available, these converter boxes, in a couple of months. So you'll be able to do that, and you'll get much better picture quality in digital, and you can get it free over the air.
I got to ask you this, Jim, because, you know, we're a lot of people in the entertainment industry are heavy into gadgets like you are, like we are. We got a guy who works on our show named Omar, who still is getting his TV over the air, does not have cable, does not have satellite. He's the only person I know in the world like that. Do you have friends that are still living in the dark ages like that?
Oh, there are some. And, you know, one of the things about it, first of all, it's free. And you can get, most people don't realize you can get high definition, digital and high definition. Almost all of the primetime TV programs are in high definition. And you just get it over the air. There's only about, it's not just Omar and a couple of other guys. There's about 13% of the country. About 70% of us get our TV through cable, about 20% through satellite. There is some overlap. But the other important thing for people who want to get one of those converter boxes, there's an awful lot of us who get cable or satellite, or like us, some of us guys get both, but also have a TV at the end of the kitchen counter or in the bedroom or on the workbench that still works with that antenna. For that, you get one of these converter boxes, and you don't have to worry about still getting over the air, and you'll be surprised. You'll get a much better picture.
Can people get two of those $40 certificates and get a $20 refund from the government after they send out the box? No.
Wait a minute. I'm not following.
You said two of them. You said thinking. $50 or $60. They're going to give out two certificates worth $40 each.
Each certificate is it's only good for one box.
Nah, damn it.
So,
all right.
But you can get two for each household.
Oh, I see.
Two
what you
addresses.
Said.
So you could get two for each. You know, if you got a beach house or a lake house or a ski house, or
sure,
you could get a
all
two
of the above.
That's what we've got. Yeah. Hey, Jim, we're about out of time for today, but what I love about you is that in a couple of months, you'll come into the studios at K-Rock and you'll bring some of these new gadgets just ahead of them showing up in the stores, right?
Yeah, we'll try to do that. That's one of the great things about this show. You see stuff that's going to be in the store shelves a little later this year, and then you see some of this stuff that's a little farther down the line.
And every year we ask you to accidentally leave a little something behind, and you don't.
Never.
But no.
Take it all with you. You're Mr. Greedy.
And we have to mention again, even though the show is going on this week in Las Vegas, again, it's still not open to the public. Is that right, Jim?
This is a trade show. You got to be in the business. But you go on CESWEB.org, get a kind of a virtual trade show. CNET is also very good. They're here with a big presence, CNET.com. They're a great website with lots of things electronic. So you can check out either one of those and get a virtual show. And look forward to seeing you guys here next year.
You bet. Jim Barry, spokesperson for the International CES Show. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir. Have a great week in Las
Vegas.
Thanks,
guys. See you soon. Thanks.
Why is it always time to make fun of Bean? What to explain that to me? How is it that time on the calendar again?
Stop acting like an ass.
It is
doing anything.
It is shocking that we could work with you this long and still find out new things about you. And yesterday we were having a conversation off the air. And what was the conversation? Do you remember what it was?
It wasn't like a conversation. It was Bean volunteering information once again.
Oh, yes. From the obituary page.
And he said, I was reading the obituaries at the Seattle newspaper here, as I do every day, and I couldn't believe that.
And then we all
stopped
out.
Listening at that right. point because we were still hung up on the fact that he reads the obituaries every day.
Now, I don't remember why I brought it up, but it wasn't to say I read the obituaries. It was because there was something in the obituaries I thought you guys would be interested in. Somebody had died that I thought you would know.
We stopped hearing you once you mentioned that you read them every day.
Because that was more fascinating to us.
Like some freaking ghoul.
And I'm sure that other people do, so we're going to take some phone calls from you. But Ralph and I looked at each other and we were like, I don't think, and I've thought, I don't know that I've ever one time looked at the obituary page because it's a downer.
I never have.
The only time I read an obituary is if somebody famous or something dies and it's on the front page, you know.
Right, not the obituary page.
Right, yeah. Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes died unexpectedly, and then they tell you a little about his life, and I read it. But I don't think I've ever read the obituaries.
Ever. And Bean reads, and I said 3 to 4 days a week, would you say? He said, easily, more probably.
I don't see it as a downer, though, because in many cases, this is the first exposure I've ever had to the person. It's not like I'm all sad because they died and it was somebody I knew, but at least whatever it was they accomplished in their life, now I'm reading about it. I'm learning something about somebody I'd never even heard of before. It happens to be.
If you never heard of them before, they didn't accomplish much in their life. That's what I'm telling you. It's usually a plumber. That's who's in the obituaries. Plumbers and accountants and carpenters. He nailed a board. Congratulations. I'm sorry for his family.
Sure, regular people's obituaries. But I mean, a lot of times you do find out people that are really interesting that died that you didn't know about, you know?
That's like Doc. It's like Doc. Remember when Doc would put those in his newscast? And,
oh, yeah.
Gaston Giron, guy who created Pepe, the spunky Parisian flea, died this week at 97. Those are the kind of facts you see in the obituaries.
Pete, I'm going through, assistant producer Alex gave me today's Los Angeles Times obituary, and I'm going through it, and almost all of them tell who died. Tell who they left here and when the funeral service is. That's about it. And what, it's a bummer to look at it and go, his wife hasn't passed away yet, but he just died. Now she's alone.
I don't know. Nice. I don't get where it's a bummer. I don't know why it's a bummer.
Because you have what's no a, feelings, you Cylon fracking toaster.
No, you do need to have some kind of heart would help.
But how can you get bummed out when you read an obituary of somebody you didn't know?
Because when it says they were married for 80 years, he leaves behind his lovely wife and 7 grown children. You go, oh, they're going to miss the old man.
Oh, that sucks.
That doesn't bum you out?
How can you not look at that and go, my God, he was married for 80 years. How's that for the luckiest guy in the world? I mean, that's something that you
How difficult will it be for her to live without him after being with him for 80 years?
She'll be gone soon. Look, here's the one thing that I love about the obituaries, though, is the little personal touches that they put in that you see. You get some insight into the family dynamics of the people that passed away. Like this one that I'm looking at from yesterday here in the Seattle Times. He loved his kitty. We will both miss him. I mean, that's in one of the obituaries. I mean, that's a nice little message.
You don't want insight into people that you know that are alive, but you're dying for insight to corpses. That's what you want.
That's what he wants. He likes dead.
You can care less what's going on in my life or Bean's life or anyone else or Kevin's life or anyone else's, but dead people, you're dying to know what they're all about.
It's also interesting to
see
how...
If somebody came up to you and said, I love my kitty... You'd say you would berate them.
That's right. You'd push them in a pool.
But once they're dead,
fine. Now it's interesting.
But there are here's the thing.
So
I don't have enough.
Let me get this straight. You wouldn't come to my wedding, but when I die and it says he leaves behind his lovely bride, then all of a sudden you're going to be interested in my marriage.
There are an awful lot of people that die that you never hear about on the news that made significant contributions. In this newspaper that I hold in my hand, there's a guy who was a 3-time All-Star and World Series pitcher who died. I had no idea that he died. There's an animator who worked for Walt Disney and worked on Cinderella, Peter Pan, and Sleeping Beauty. I mean, these people made real contributions to our lives, but you never know their name. You never hear about them. I mean, that's why it's so interesting to now read about them, because otherwise I wouldn't.
The point is, you don't care until they're 6 feet under. At that point, when they're dead, you're in.
If you met an old guy said, I was an animator for Walt Disney, you'd be like, oh, well, you're going to die soon. Good luck for you, sir. And you'd walk away from him.
That's just not true. You do not care about people who are alive.
And I don't get the point of caring about people who died. Okay, so now you know the name of a guy who used to work on a cartoon that was 40 years ago. What? Now what?
Now what do you do with it?
What do you do with that?
Celebrate?
You're going to forget his name
tomorrow.
Another
person's dead. Woohoo!
It's just, it's the march of history is what it is, Lisa. It gives you some perspective on these people are...
But
these people are dying.
But there's history happening every day that you don't care about.
Really,
I
when
do.
It's under the door. Real alive life is marching past you all day long, and you won't open the window shade.
You insult it.
You hate put your life. Head under the blanket and just spend time with the corpses. That's what we're saying.
All right. We're out of time for right now.
You're the crypt keeper.
That's true.
You ask people to call in who also read the obituaries regularly, right? Well, we've got a full rack of those people.
The lines are on hold with people who read them every day.
All of the ghouls
are calling.
Yes.
They wouldn't put it in the newspaper if people didn't want to see it.
Oh,
what are you
BS?
Talking about?
How about the wedding announcements, the engagement announcement, that page?
You read that every day?
I don't care about
interesting
people.
Yeah,
interesting people
getting married in love, celebrating life.
Still breathing, that's the problem.
They're young and they haven't done anything.
They wouldn't
I don't
put
care
it in the
that.
Paper if it wasn't interesting.
No, people pay for those. You pay for the wedding announcements. You get the obituaries for free.
Okay, we're going to take your calls next. 1-800-520-106. People alive? Just need to die.
Not interested.
Once they're dead, Bean's in.
All the things that are happening in the world that live people are doing.
That's correct.
Bean apparently is able to burn through all of those things in a matter of an hour or so, and then just
and
concentrate
out.
On the corpses.
Look,
on what
I
what
read
they
the
did.
Paper every day, and I love reading about current events as well. But there's you also make room to learn about other people that you wouldn't ordinarily they wouldn't ordinarily make the newspaper, and that's why I like the obituaries. And it's not uncommon. Lots of people read the obituaries. We got a ton of them on the phone right now.
Well, okay. There are lots of Oprah fans, too. What are you going to do? You know what I'm talking
about?
Let's
talk to Sherry on line one. She's in Simi Valley this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. Coming to my defense, I'd like to say, Sherry, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. Before you move on, you're on Bean's side. You're aware of that.
I am so aware of that.
All right, go ahead.
I look forward to reading them every morning along with my horoscope, and I do not miss the day.
Your horoscope. There you go.
Okay.
You're a total tard.
Now, Sherry, why do you like the obituaries?
Because it's so fascinating. It has their picture and a little life story, and then you can see why it passes. So many people die from cancer. It just amazes me.
Okay.
There's some news.
Hey, that's something to look forward to every day.
That cancer's a killer.
I've got to get out of bed.
How
I know
would you know if you didn't read the obituaries?
I don't have to get up yet, but I can't wait to go out and get the obituary so I can find out how many people died from cancer. That's not a downer to you?
No, it's just interesting. It makes you appreciate your
Do you have real friends?
I do have real friends, and they all make fun of me.
Well, yeah. Should.
And that's Sherry, well, a lot of times, let me ask you if this happens to you, too, because some days I'll pick up, especially the tiny little island that I live on has a newspaper, and you look in the obituaries, and oftentimes there'll be two or three people dead who are kind of about my age or a little bit older, and that really does wig me out to see, you know, imagine if this was all there was, and I dropped dead right now like this poor schmuck.
From your mouth to God's ears.
There's the only obituary I want to read, really. Gene Bean Baxter leaving behind a bunch of animals and a bunch of angry coworkers.
All right, let's talk to Cheryl in Los Angeles.
All right.
Cheryl is on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
You read the obituary every day.
Every day. It's probably the second thing I read.
Because?
I like reading the names. You know, the interesting names.
Interesting names.
Really?
Wow. You know what you should read? Yeah. The phone book. That's fascinating. It's got tons of interesting names in it.
It does. It has a lot. One
All
after
kinds
another.
Of names.
I bet she has a favorite letter in the alphabet, too.
Do you have Asperger syndrome?
I don't really have a favorite letter, but you know, and I also check out how long they lived and what they did. It's just really interesting to me, too.
But it doesn't bum you out that there are people left that have to deal with that. That's not a negative?
No, because you never really see in there, you know, you always see he was a very loved person. You never see, we actually hated him. And
no, of course not. But they lie about everyone, too. That's the other thing that bugs me is they just flower it up for
everybody.
You're
reading a page of lies.
Right. So, most of those people didn't like that person very much.
And they probably beat their wives.
you're never going to see that one day, maybe, but not right now.
Cheryl, I can't let you go without asking you what the first thing is you read, because you said it was the second most interesting thing.
Yeah.
Cartoons?
Actually, that's the third thing.
Okay,
first thing is the headlines.
The headlines.
Right. First, the front page, yeah. Well,
that's oddly reasonable of you.
Scan the headlines and then head right for death. That's what you want to do.
I can't wait to see who's dead today.
Let's go to Stacy.
Why don't you stop living in the netherworld and come join us here?
I'm looking at this obituary from yesterday's Seattle Times about a guy who took up the violin at age 4 and a half and became a pretty good player, but then put it down for 50 years.
Okay,
and then
picked
it up again after he retired and started playing violin to the point where he started tutoring kids in the neighborhood on the violin.
Okay,
that's
good.
A very sweet story that would not have made the regular news.
And if that guy lived next to you, you would hate him.
You'd say, stop playing that goddamn violin.
Stop making that noise.
I have to get up early.
Stacy in Laguna Niguel.
Bean, you are my 65-year-old mom, Sammy guy.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that, I guess.
Yes, your 65-year-old mom does what?
She cuts out the obituaries to give to me. So I have stacks of obituaries of people I don't know.
What's wrong with...
She constantly says, have you read them? Did you see that one?
What's wrong with your mother? A lot?
She's much like Bean.
Yes. Yeah. She focuses on the end.
She loves the death.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ones that are her favorite are the ones where you can't really tell how they died, where it could be a suicide or something like that.
Wait a minute. It's a little murder mystery.
Wait a minute. That's your mom's favorite?
Yes.
Your mom loves them more if they could have committed suicide.
She's, you know, her own Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Looking for,
we need to send somebody in to rescue Stacy and get her out of this situation.
A lot of newspapers have a policy where you're not allowed to say how they die, which really ticks me off. Because sometimes you'll look and you'll see a guy who's like 28 or something. You'll be like, how about some information? How about some details here? Sometimes I just want to go to that funeral and ask around.
That'd be great. You should do that. They would like it. Hey, tell me more about the guy that's dead.
Bean, that is the funeral investigator.
Bean has a, just for the record, Bean has a painting on his wall of the rat that brought the plague to Europe.
Yeah. He loves death.
A lot of death. Good
loves
for him.
Loves the death.
Puts up a picture in his house to be reminded of the plague
all
the time.
Got a painting that John Wayne Gacy, the serial killer,
That's
did.
Correct, yes. Yeah.
All right. I believe we're done now. I think that's...
Bean, how come... Sorry, we're out of time. I was just looking at the obits for the first time in my life because we're doing this. How come some people have pictures and some people have giant columns... With a picture.
You got to pay for that. Bean says they're free, but they're not free.
No, the regular obituaries are free, but I think you can pay to get more words and a photo.
We looked into it. You get about 4 lines for free. That's why most of them are just who they left behind and where the funeral is going to be held, because you can get 4 lines free. Anything else, a picture or an involved story or whatever, you have to pay for on top of that.
So it's basically you just want to see pictures of the rich. That's what you want.
Yeah. You love rich dead people.
Dead rich people.
That's what you love.
All right. Everyone else on hold, you are Bean. And you are dead.
You need hobbies and seriously,
friends.
Take a lover. Celebrate life.
Life is for the living. Don't be.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ.
And it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:58. Almost caught it.
Almost.
I hope I'm going to be reading about Kevin soon. That's all I have to say about that. It's Carrie Kim from Pasadena, Los Angeles. Jimmy Kimmel on the program today. Plus, you'll never believe what the L.A. Jedi Knights are all about. We'll tell you after the news at 8. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's what they do in a park.
What if they make that noise with their mouths?
You'll hear.
I can't wait to see this freaking Cloverfield. I've been excited about this since November when I first saw the teaser trailer in front of the Transformers. This is going to be the first big movie of the year, and if you'd like to go and see it before anybody else, we're having a special K-Rock screening on Thursday, January 17th at the Grove. Here's the thing. You know what the Japanese do really well? I mean, besides kill highly intelligent mammal life?
They make
horror movies. They make monster movies.
Right.
And J.J. Abrams was inspired by the Godzilla movie series, which has been around for like 40 years. Hey. And he said, you know, America really doesn't have their own classic monster movie. And so he gives us Cloverfield, about a creature that pretty much single-handedly destroys the island of Manhattan, which looks fantastic.
How did he get the government to let him use the Statue of Liberty's head?
I know. That must have been big bucks, because then they got to weld it back on and everything. It's enormous. If you'd like to go, let's take the first three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers get a pair of tickets to see the special K-Rock advanced screening of Cloverfield from producer J.J. Abrams, our buddy from Alias and Lost and a bunch of other good things. So, should be pretty cool. I got to tell you something.
What?
This Britney Spears thing.
Yeah, every day.
It's just starting to get sad. I used to enjoy it. Now it's getting a little sad.
It really is.
Even Harvey Levin is starting to feel bad about what's going on with Britney, and that's his bread and butter.
When Harvey and I start backing off Britney, you know things aren't going well.
Yeah.
News story today. Of course, there is one every day. She's out of the hospital, out of the nut hatch, and she was driving her Mercedes CLK on Sunset Boulevard yesterday and apparently got a flat tire.
Okay.
So she drove past at least one service station, according to CBS News. And then was on an overpass over the 405 on Sunset and decided just to ditch the car.
At Sunset over the 405?
Yes.
Very, very busy.
Pulled into the left lane and abandoned the car.
Left it blocking traffic.
Yes. Accepted a ride from a paparazzo, not the guy that she's been banging, that photographer, just a different one who was following her taking pictures. Got a ride from him and left the car behind.
Wow.
Did she say,
"This is a mess"?
No, she didn't, but she should have.
Mm. Britney Spears. What about her?
Highway Patrol and local police had to come to the scene, guide traffic around the car, then have it impounded and have a tow truck come and clear the lane away. So
she'll probably never pick it up.
Why, Lisa?
It's
why?
Broken.
It's broken. It's got a flat tire. Once they get flat tires, what are you going to do? You can't ride. You can't drive anymore on it.
Can't
what
fix
if a
those?
Kid breaks a leg? Boom. Done.
Kitty Lake.
Out.
That's what happens.
Hey, why?
Speaking of that paparazzo that Britney's been dating, where are those exclusive photos?
Yeah.
You gotta imagine he's got the access that would really get him the great pictures, but I haven't heard anything out of them.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure he'll have a story to sell eventually.
Oh, sure.
And a sex tape.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are talking about their sexual encounters, Alessandro D'Annunzio is the Italian dude that Lindsay Lohan hooked up with over New Year's Eve. He's already telling his story. Mm-hmm. They were in Italy. And he says the two spent the night together after only 6 hours of knowing each other.
Lindsay Lohan.
He says that Lindsay Lohan was experienced,
yeah,
adventurous, good, had a great body,
mm-hmm,
and flexible.
Flexible.
Oh, can you imagine how he found out she was flexible? The mind boggles.
Okay, explain the pink.
Larry, how dare you?
By the way, don't believe the footage on the internet where Lindsay's claiming that she just took a swig of champagne. That was the only alcohol she consumed that night.
Oh.
Alessandra says she downed vodka and cranberry drinks all night long during their tryst. So
yeah,
that explains why maybe she had sex with this dude. And why Miss Double December had sex with Dave.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Is she replacing her addiction to alcohol with her addiction to sex? Is that what's going on here? Is she substituting addictions?
In a perfect world.
No, she's doing both now.
Yeah, apparently she always did both. She was banging guys in rehab before she got clean and sober.
True.
So, what do you know?
Look, you got to put your energy into something. I think that's admirable.
She's a good-looking woman, by the way.
She is. She's getting hotter as she gets older, too. She's
and flexible, we just
and
found
she's
out.
Flexible. It really matters. The Golden Globe Awards this year have been canceled, so something good came out of the writer's strike. Apparently, they've announced it's now just going to be a hour-long press conference that NBC, which had the rights to the TV show, is going to cover live with their NBC news department.
At what time?
No, I'm not sure. I hope it's in the afternoon when no one's watching.
Wow.
I feel bad, though, for people like... I saw an interview with... what the hell's her name? The girl from Hairspray?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know her
name. Nikki Blonsky, I think her name is.
There you go.
She's wonderful.
She plays something Turnblad.
Batgirl's fat.
Anyway, she says, you know what? When I was a kid, I used to love to watch the Golden Globes and all the award shows because...
Oh, no.
It was just great to see all the stars together, and I thought maybe someday...
This is her year.
She's nominated for a Golden Globe. Maybe, probably, will never be nominated again.
Oh, no.
And then the show is canceled.
Yeah.
So she'll watch a news conference instead of attending a gala event with all the celebrities and go to all the parties and all that kind of good stuff.
Excellent. Hey, try being married to a fashion designer this week, by the way. I'd get an earful of that every day.
Oh, you know what a drag that can be, being married to a famous fashion designer.
Well, I'm just
saying.
You know
what a drag that is.
When they start canceling award shows, that's business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That hurts.
I mean, beans a bit. Leaves behind famous fashion.
Fashion mogul.
Yeah. And here's a great story. You remember the... the Philadelphia, this is a big story. I was in Philadelphia over the New Year, and it was a big story that this news anchor, smoking hot news anchor named Alicia Lane.
Oh, yes.
She's in big trouble.
Why?
She's the Rich Eisen one, right?
Okay, you tell the story.
What's the Rich Eisen? No, I think that was the story you were doing.
Oh.
I'm just
remember when Rich Eisen got the naughty photographs from a girl who sent them to his email, and they were intercepted by Rich's wife?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
This is Alicia Lane. This is the local Philadelphia newscaster who sent them to her.
Excellent.
To him. So she's in New York over the holidays, and she's loaded, and she gets stopped by the cops in New York City, and she punches a New York City policewoman in the face.
Oh, no.
And calls her a dyke.
Oh, no.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, she's also been, she's separated from her husband. She's been banging around with this with the other guy. She came on to Rich Eisen, been banging around with this other guy, a Philadelphia radio DJ, DJ in Philadelphia. And apparently she was linked with Chris Raggi, the New York City news anchor, Chris Raggi. Do you know who Chris Raggi is separated from?
Oh, sure. They're separated?
That's Victoria Silvstedt.
Victoria Silvstedt.
That marriage is going belly up.
Really?
Giddy up.
Wow.
By the way, Victoria's single.
Yeah, no
kidding. Anyway, she was just fired from her job today, apparently. They released her from her contract, they're saying, in Philadelphia, which is a nice way of saying, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. So
hot, though.
She is so hot, but so unemployed.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if she can do traffic. That's all I'm just saying.
Yeah. News. She can do Playboy.
News.
Because I'm guessing she has morally casual attitude.
Why are you people trying to replace Lisa when we could replace Doc?
That's true.
Seriously.
That's true.
But she does news, right?
Doc has photographs of our station manager having sex with a goat or something. Yeah. They're never going to get
I got to get some of those.
Lisa, we can get rid of easily.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Really need some photos.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rachel Nichols, who played Rachel Gibson on Alias, is 28 years old today. Easy. Exhibits, 34. R. Kelly, one of our favorite singers, is 41. Stephen Hawking, legendary scientist and all-around good guy, is 66 years old today. Bob Eubanks, legendary game show host from The Newlywed Game, he is 70. And legendary rock star David Bowie turned 61 years old today.
David Bowie is still doing some great things.
Yes, he is, Rob.
Did you see him on SpongeBob SquarePants?
No, I missed that.
He had an hour special of SpongeBob.
David Bowie.
SquarePants and Atlantis.
Of course.
Then there's a new David Bowie box set up. Out on Columbia, like the 90s years and the 80s.
Okay. David Bowie.
And of course, he's got this fashion out now over at Target. He's inspired some fashion.
Yeah. He's married to...
he can get at Target.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, he's been in the studio. He's been writing some more great new music. A little birthday present for David Bowie.
Rodney.
Anyway, be back right after this.
No, you won't. Not if I have anything to do with that. David Bowie is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You mock, but we're doing Breakfast with the Toadies on Monday morning at the Troubadour, Kevin.
Foo Fighters.
I don't know why you would say.
That's
Foo Fighters. Yeah, you're right. I got those confused. Anyway, your chance to win those tickets, win your way in, plus tickets to see the band on March the 6th at Staples Center are coming up later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. You know, K-Rock.com, we have a great section on our website called the Internet Roundup where we put all of our favorite videos. And the The one you're about to hear about is one that you're going to want to see with your own eyes. Something to do with the L.A. Jedi Knights.
Well, assistant producer Alex was watching Channel 9 News. She saw this story. She thought, these are Kevin's people. Because these are the kind of people that I just love.
They call themselves the L.A. Jedi. They're Star Wars fans who get a kick out of dueling with lightsabers.
Okay. I just want that to sink in. This, you know, this week there are people out there who still like to duel with lightsabers because they're Star Wars fans.
Wow.
And they're in a park. These people.
After dark, they practice weekly in this park, choreographing moves with modified lightsabers.
Yes. Weekly, they're in a park practicing, and listen to the description of the lightsabers, people.
They make noise, they light up, you hit them, you get the clash sound.
They light up, and when you hit each other, they make the clash sound.
That's so cool.
And this is a video from 1977
nope,
that we're
nope.
listening to?
Current.
When Star Wars was hot?
Each week they go to a park.
Well, we heavily emphasize safety. We make sure that everyone is aware of the space around them before they swing their sabers.
Because you know how dangerous that can be.
Everything's choreographed. We never actually try to hit each other.
So they toss it out to a guy who has to go out and do this report, Rich DeMuro from Channel 9. And he's out there trying to sell this story.
A mix of martial arts and just plain fun.
And then the woman gives her mission statement.
That's part of our mission statement is to have fun, spin sabers, and try to look as cool as possible.
Have fun, try to look as cool as possible.
Please tell me they wear helmets for safety.
No. They're just out there swinging their lightsabers around.
They have to have helmets.
What a giant group of dorks.
Oh, my God.
And poor Rich DeMuro, who from Channel 9, he is the guy who they sent out and did this story. Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's it like in the newsroom when this story comes up for grabs? Is everybody trying to give it to the person sitting next to them?
No, this is, I found this story. This is, you know, this is my beat.
It's your story.
This is tech news. So, you know, when I pitch it in the newsroom, they're like, there's a couple people that are kind of a little dorkier in the newsroom, and they love this kind of stuff.
I do too, but I don't think for the same reasons. I mean, these, it's really shocking to me that there is a group that meets weekly in a park to have lightsaber fights. That just...
Yeah, the way I pitched the story, I said, you know, some people play tennis, some people swing their lightsabers.
Yeah.
Now, Rich, let me ask you this. You're the tech guy. You're the guy to ask. I don't know anything about these store-bought lightsabers. I know what they look like in the movie, but what goes on with these? I mean, is it like a sword that lights up, or what is it?
Yeah, believe it or not, they buy them at Sharper Image for about
$120. $120?
And, you know, they said that the guy who actually makes these lost his licensing from Lucasfilm, so apparently these things are going to be really tough to get. So if anyone's looking to join this group anytime soon,
sure,
they might want to get their lightsaber now.
Rich, you went out to the park, didn't you?
Yes,
and
was there for hours.
Did you, in fact, join the LA Jedi Knights?
You know, no, I did not join the group. I did learn one little move, though. I forget what it was called, but I kind of swung the lightsaber around in the live shot, and they said, oh, that's that move. So
wow,
that was exciting.
You interviewed a girl, and we're trying to track her down because we want her to cut the guy loose. But she's like, I'm just happy my boyfriend's getting out of the house and getting some exercise.
Because you know all this guy does is sit in front of his computer when he's at home.
All these people are behind Rich, and they're fighting with these lightsabers.
And they stayed out there. We got there around 6 o'clock. They were out there till 10:30 playing with these
guys. Oh, my God. What do you suppose the unifying factor is between these participants?
You know, I was trying to figure that out, and it seemed like just a club. You know, these people are from all over. They actually picked up two new members that night, just people walking by.
Wait a minute. People joined as a joke, though, right?
No, they were like, wow, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. This is great.
Do they wear the cloaks like Obi-Wan does? Do they give each other, really? Do they have Star Wars names? Like, don't call me Steve, my name is Qui-Gon?
Absolutely. When I was interviewing them, they gave me their names, and they were some crazy names, and I was like, okay, is that, like, your real name?
That's because they don't want you to know their real name.
Well, one guy wouldn't give me his last name. He just went by Joe.
Of course.
He's like, I don't want people at my work to know about this.
Oh, it's so good. So good. How did you come across it?
You know, just surfing the web. You find all kinds of crazy stuff out there. And I saw these people were in L.A. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be a tough sell because it's a little stretch for tech. Normally, I do gadget news on KCAL9. But, you know, I figured these people had to be in
sure.
technology. Anyone who's into Star Wars is kind of a tech lover, I'm sure.
How about a little less time trying to get illegal immigrants out of the country and a little more time trying to deport these people? How about that?
They were a good group.
Rich, you do good work.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Bye now. He's in Las Vegas for the for the CES show, the electronic show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
that's
we
got to
get
more
down
fun.
To that park. We got to get down to that park, and we got to start swinging our sabers.
Right. You should contact your lawyer first.
Roland?
Yes, it's Roland.
Hey, what's going on?
I just you can expect to hear from my lawyer today.
For what?
So about perhaps what? You should do. Oh, get these people out of the country.
Well, Roland, seriously, those people are never going to contribute anything to America.
Those are the people who run America, my friends. All the computer technicians and all the computer graphics people and the people that keep this country moving. Those are who those people are. And you will be hearing from the JDL, and they will be suing you.
What's the JDL?
The Jedi Defense League.
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
You are jettist. You are jettist, and we will not accept your hatred on the air, and you will be sued.
What's the lawsuit for? What's the...
For defamation... of geek character.
Look, aren't there plenty of other people who are computer savvy and smart who are making contributions that maybe don't get dressed up like Star Wars characters and have lightsaber fights?
Nope. They get dressed up as Star Wars characters or Star Trek characters. Those are your only options.
Are you a member of the L.A. Jedi Knights?
I am indeed a proud member of the L.A. Jedi Knights. And you will soon be reamed with my lightsaber. I'm going to give you a colonoscopy the way that the Jedi would do it.
How do they do that exactly?
I'll cut polyps out of your
okay, that's fine.
Using that's fine, a Darth Maul double-ended lightsaber.
Okay. You can see the video link. It is now posted at the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. Go to the Internet Roundup, and you'll see the video that we were just listening to the audio for. Roland, we got to go. Thanks for calling.
Be in court, bitches.
First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line for 2008, and that number is 323-520-AFRO. It's an answering machine. You call, leave a message on any topic, then we play it back on the radio.
Driving down the freeway, how come every car I see with the Playboy Bunny sticker on it, there's some fat girl in it? Somebody needs to tell them to quit doing this. All right, thanks.
By the way, I've noticed that too.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
It's not just women too, by the way. You guys out there with Big Pimpin' or Straight Playa on your lights, the sticker. It's always some dork. It's never. I hate that.
Fat douchebag.
Yeah. You guys.
Oh, wait. This was yesterday at about this time we went off the air. I don't know why. We just went off the air. We came up on our background transmitter. It was a backup transmitter, and it was not very strong at all. Yeah. And we were like that for about an hour and a half.
Can you guys pay your bills? Because here I am listening to this. This is what I'm hearing. Nothing! Fix it!
Dude, I understand your frustration, but seriously, that was probably a more entertaining show than the one that we were putting on.
This is you guys right now. Carcass. National Treasure. I think it's the best radio show you guys ever had.
See? Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Yesterday, during the blackout, when we weren't on the air, we had Dave, the King of Mexico, take a lie detector test about Miss Double December 2006, Yasmin, and he passed it with flying colors.
Dave, passing that lie detector test just goes to show you that they can be beat. Dave's a liar. The show is bogus. I will not watch the show.
I think we have to take his word for it now. I really think we have to say it happened.
We felt like Nick was a very competent polygrapher, I guess is the word we learned yesterday. But if you want to see the video of Dave taking the lie detector test, that is also up at the Kevin and Bean page at KROQ.com. You can stream it. You can put it on your iPod, whatever you want to do. That's radio history right there.
Hey, I don't know why everybody's so surprised about Dave and Jasmine. Everybody wants to ride a BMW, a big Mexican wiener.
Yeah!
This guy is not happy at all with his job.
You know, it's bad enough being a male massage therapist, okay? You got some lady talking about, oh, I don't want some strange guy rubbing their butt handle over my thighs. Shut up. And the guys are like, oh, man, such a day, I'll instantly turn gay. Shut up. But the one thing I hate, okay, go to the bathroom before you get a massage, okay? So when I'm working on your glutes, you won't fart in my face.
Okay.
In my face.
All right.
Okay. I can still feel it.
All right.
God.
You need to change jobs, sir.
That is an occupational hazard I had never even thought about.
And here's a song that I am not a fan of, but I believe my partner Bean will love with all his heart.
Martin Luther King. Ooh, equality is gonna happen. Martin Luther King, outside my window. Martin Luther King, behind the tree. We
life, you see, because he got shot on the balcony, but Martin Luther King outside my window.
All right, thank you.
Ooh, I have a dream. Ooh, hold hands together in the promised land.
Okay, thank you.
We got to send that down to the lab and get that made. That's fantastic. Come on.
Okay.
Can't we get some sort of a timer that counts down so you can tell how much is left on the song?
2008 forever, man.
They don't do that. There's no such
8:39, Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock. People just think we went off the air again. They won't know it was me.
Sure, exactly. Here's the great news is that Monday, someone else will be running the controls because
right.
Kevin and I will be interviewing along with you, the K-Rock Lizard, the band called Foo Fighters. That's going to be at the Troubadour on Monday morning. If you can't win tickets, and that's the only way to get them is to win them from us and here on K-Rock, then you're invited to listen on the radio in the 8 o'clock hour starting Monday morning. But we're not only going to give you tickets for that, we're going to give you tickets for March 6th at their, I think I said Staples Center earlier, but it's Forum, right? Is that what
yes.
it is?
It's Forum.
It's at the Forum, right. And tickets for that sale for that show go on sale this Saturday at 10. So you win tickets to see them in concert and tickets to come to our breakfast if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, so the game is played. Ralph will give you clues. Lisa May will give you clues. You have to give us song titles from Foo Fighters.
What could be easier?
All of the answers will be song titles, although okay. Ralph and Lisa cannot use any of the words that are in the titles of the Foo Fighters songs.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Okay.
Okay, I think we got it. Who's our first contestant today?
We have Rich, who is in Glendora. Good morning, Rich.
How's it going, boys?
Very good, thank you.
Lisa May.
Hi, Rich.
All right, and we have Bridget, who is calling us from Burbank. Good morning, Bridget.
This is Blake.
Hey, Blake.
You're so not Bridget.
Sorry, wow. I went to the wrong line. My bad. Hold on.
Blake gets screwed.
I know. I think, but
he
I
gets
think,
excited to get on the air, maybe win, and then just uh-huh. pork.
Well, that
then
was my fault.
Ream.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Bridge.
Sorry about that. Okay, now, let's see. Who do we talk to first? Rich?
We talk to Rich first.
All right. So you, who
he gets to choose?
Rich?
He gets to choose who he wants to play with.
Ralph or Lisa giving the clues?
I'm going to go with Ralph.
Okay, Rich.
Okay.
Ralph, Bridget, Lisa.
Okay. Love Lisa.
All guys right. against girls.
Love you too, Bridget.
All right, you're going to have 45 seconds. Whoever
who's
gets
first?
Who's going first?
The most. Let's have Lisa go first.
Okay.
Bridget and Lisa.
Lisa will go
Me
first.
And Bridget.
Are right, you ready, Bridget?
I'm ready.
You're going to have 45 seconds. You can pass if you want to move on to something else and then
we'll
go
come back.
Back
around to it if there's enough time.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Here we go.
The newspaper in the Los Angeles Times is the L.A.
Can't say really Times.
Sorry.
Oh, my
disqualified.
God.
Disqualified. Next.
So sorry.
Keep going.
A big faker. Someone who's faking it. They're
pass.
Not small, but. What's the opposite of small?
Big.
Okay, not you, but.
Me.
Okay. Not worse. Well, put those together.
Oh, my God. Best of you.
Okay. We're going to do this again. Not worst, but...
Best
uh-huh, not...
of you.
Okay. Right. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, they're all super...
My hero.
Okay. If you... I'm sorry,
wow.
Bridget.
Hero.
Well, I think some of the confusion was you said big and you said me. All she wanted you to do was put them together and say big me. That was the title we were looking for from Foo Fighters.
Okay.
But
Lisa moved
up.
On
I'm sorry.
At that point.
Right. And I think, by my count, just two right for Bridget. Is that what you guys
no.
got as well?
She didn't get Pretender. She passed.
Yeah.
She didn't get big me.
So she got best of you and she got my hero.
Yes.
That's two, right?
Two.
All right.
Two. That's what I thought I said. Okay.
All right.
All right. Hang on, Bridget. You still could win. We don't know what a bad player Rich might be, but Rich and Ralph are going to go
bad,
up next.
How I might be, for that matter.
With 45 seconds on the clock, Rich, you got the potential here to win tickets to join us Monday. So listen carefully. The clock is about ready to begin.
Rich, if you go to airline pilot school, you want to do this.
Learn to fly.
Okay. This is a tool a plumber might use.
A monkey wrench.
Right. If a body shows up at a hospital already deceased.
It's DOA.
Yeah, you're right, Rich.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Nicely done.
With authority.
No kidding.
Congratulations, Rich. We will see you at our Breakfast with Foo Fighters on Monday morning. You can help us ask the questions.
You know, I had to give up trying to win Linkin Park tickets because I heard you guys were having these guys on. That's awesome.
There you go.
You want to win two in a row. Smart guy.
And And Bridget, please please confirm for me what I've always believed is true, is that women are no goddamn good.
No,
you're not right.
All bridges are hot.
Thank you, Rick.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Wow. What? Wow. What? Yeah, I caught that one at the end. It wasn't even over yet. You already started talking. That was amazing.
Like a professional broadcaster right there.
I'm all over it, people.
Just like they do it on the real stations. Very impressive, Kevin. Speaking of a guy who was too good for radio and got the hell out, our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us after 9 o'clock this morning to talk about something. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event that is happening this Thursday night in his show. So stick around for that. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I had to ask him how he did that.
Yeah.
What?
Got out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not as easy for everyone else.
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
It is for everyone else, apparently. I meant to say, just not me.
He had exceptional talent. Yeah. He had exceptional talent and works harder than any person I've ever met in my life. I think that's the 1-2 punch he had.
But there are people with less talent than Jimmy who have also escaped.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's true, too. Ryan Seacrest.
And yet, I can't. Just saying.
Ralph, do you ever think that maybe this is where you belong?
Never.
You ever think that maybe this is what you were put on Earth for, is to entertain the people?
How dare you? That's the meanest thing you could have possibly have said.
How dare you? You bring a lot of people pleasure every day. A lot of people listen to this show because they love Ralph Garman. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's
wrong with
that.
Being the big fish in the tiny little pond?
I love them as well.
Okay.
I have no problem with the listeners.
Oh, right.
The audience and I get along just fine.
Is it the host that calls you Frank?
We're on great terms. It's the one who calls me Ralph Harmon or Frank. Maybe I'm not so pleased with that relationship. Maybe that work scenario isn't ideal for me.
I have
me,
a clip, if you'd like.
So keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
After 10 years of working together, maybe it's that sort of behavior that could chap one's ass.
Here's another clip.
Speaking of J.J. Abrams.
Oh, you can't act like you're interested in Rachel Nichols if you're interested in Zac Efron.
I love Rachel Nichols.
Who played Rachel Gibson on Alias. She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph, what's your name?
Frank?
He called you Frank.
The hell? Seriously.
But don't take it personally.
How can you not love working?
It's only your name.
Maybe Jimmy's hiring. Maybe, you know, because he's good that way. He's got Cousin Sal working for him and Uncle Frank. He's got a lot of family members.
That's
maybe
true.
There's a slot over there making coffee or working the calf service table, slicing bagels or something.
All right, listen, Ralph, we got to get to the show business.
You had a hard time. You can be the new Ted.
Listen, yeah. What's your name?
Hey, I've got tickets to what is easily one of the most anticipated films of the year, Cloverfield. It is the giant monster movie from J.J. Abrams. Comes out on January the 18th in theaters everywhere. However, if you'd like to see it before everyone else, we've got a special K-Rock screening January the 17th at The Grove, which is a great place to see a movie if you'd like to go. I've got my final three pairs of tickets for the day, and because we're running so late, I'm just going to throw them out there. Let's say callers 10, 11, and 12. Callers 10, 11, and 12 at 1-800-520-1067. You get a pair of tickets to attend the very special K-Rock advanced screening of Cloverfield. I cannot wait to see this monster. It's making me nuts.
Yeah. Looks like a great
movie. It's
going to
be awesome.
J.J. Abrams really knows what he's doing.
He sure does. He is a guy who knows how to build a drama and deliver. Except for that whole Lost. But we won't hold that against him because the first couple of them were pretty good.
Were great, yeah.
Ah, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Apparently, the divorce between Anne Heche and Coley LaFoon is getting uglier and uglier by the minute.
Why?
The two split last year when it was revealed that she was having an affair with her Men in Trees co-star, James Tupper. By the way, Men in Trees, another fictional TV show,
oh,
right?
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't
exist.
One of my favorite shows.
Really?
Come
and
on,
he
Lisa.
Is so hot.
I've never seen it.
I love that show.
It's not even on the air.
Well, not now. Nothing's on now.
Yeah, but Men in Trees.
It's awesome.
That's like a myth. It's an urban legend.
It is. Really good show.
Anyway, the two are trying to separate their property. And apparently they've both been very petty during the arbitration process, according to E! Online. They're arguing about everything down to and including bed sheets.
What?
Who gets the bed sheets? That's the kind of stuff they're fighting about.
Can't you just buy new ones?
Sure. But then how do you punish the other person by buying new ones?
$10? $15? $20?
Seriously, have you ever rolled around like 1,200 thread count sheets? Man, oh, you don't let those go.
Really?
You know,
can't buy more of those?
No, you're going to bring those with you.
All right. But once your wife has cheated on you with another man, do you really want the bed sheets? You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I suppose that's true. If they've stopped by, that may not be the way to go.
I want to say congratulations to Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Dr. Drew, of course, has that new VH1 show, Celebrity Rehab.
Is he back together with Snoop Dogg?
And, what? I'm sorry.
Dr. Dre.
Oh, that was Dr. Dre. I'm sorry. Mine is confused.
Dr. Drew, not Dr. Dre. Gotcha.
See? You see what I'm talking about?
He's a fan.
Oh, sorry, I can't say that anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah, I hear what you're talking about.
Oh, there's been a new memo came down?
Don't worry about it.
What are you saying?
He's a fan.
I'm just saying we get a lot of trouble for that, for people for saying that. Well, that's all people keep complaining. All right.
Anyway, he's got that show Celebrity Rehab, and one of his patients, Jessica Sierra, from American Idol, was just given the smackdown from a Florida judge this week as she was sentenced to a full year in rehab.
A year? I've never heard of that.
A year in rehab.
That's serious time.
Wait a minute.
That might be enough to clean even her up.
When do rehabs turn into jail?
I don't know. Look, I guess the option is year in rehab or 6 years in the pen, you know.
Wow.
But she will not be allowed to do any interviews. She will not be able to do anything work-related during the full 12 months of treatment.
She has to give up all that work she's been doing?
All that work, yeah. Wow. But I'm just saying, Drew obviously did a good job while she was in celebrity rehab. I'm just saying. Because,
yeah.
Because apparently
his fault.
The judge thought her substance abuse was so bad, he had to sentence her to a year in rehab.
Well, we have Dr. Drew on our show Thursday morning. We will ask him about that.
Well, let's ask him, how badly did he F up Jessica Sierra that she had a year in rehab? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, Drew may not be the guy you want to go to when it comes to rehab. despite what you've heard for these many years, I think he's a bit of a screw up.
Keep that question for us for Thursday, would you, Mike?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm just saying,
look at the great job he's done with Andy Dick, though.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo were spotted together vacationing in Mexico.
Damn it.
Yeah, he's going to be in great shape come this week.
Here's where you need your Tony Soprano, Kevin. Come on.
What about the whole...
He's a fag.
What about the whole thing where they were just putting it on for the Super Bowl commercial or whatever?
Well, apparently,
they still could be doing that,
They still could be doing that because they were with her family.
No! God damn it.
With mom and dad. We're also down there in Mexico hanging out with Tony and Jessica. They were all vacationing. Down there in Mexico, hanging
How
out
about
together.
That?
So at least he's focusing on the playoffs. At least he's focusing on the game. That's
how do you
what
like your
doing.
Quarterback
Can
now?
Can you imagine how draining it must be to be not only with Jessica Simpson, but the whole Simpson clan?
Oh, God,
no.
He's going to suck.
You got Joe pitching him all kinds of ideas for Christmas specials and stuff, you know, and he's drinking the tequila, getting hammered, getting all sloppy and weak.
Joe's leering at his daughter's breast with
That's
him.
That's right. Hey, look how hot
look
my
at
daughter
that
is. Isn't she hot? Oh, you're so lucky you get to bang her. Oh, yeah. You must enjoy banging
her. I wish I could bang her.
These are like the hottest tits I've ever seen.
That's Joe Simpson.
Check them out.
Joe Simpson talked about his sister.
I knew she had a hot rack.
Yeah.
Sure did. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Those are so hot.
Okay. It's Tony Romo there at the end.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
There are rumors that Jessica jinxes Tony because she was front and center at the Philadelphia Eagles game.
We could only hope.
A couple weeks ago. So
that would be awesome.
Might be the best thing Jessica Simpson's ever done.
Let me ask you this, Ralph. You're the football ace. When you have a bye week, granted you've played a hard season, you do have a few extra days to prepare for the playoffs, but is this really what you ought to be doing, is going to Mexico on vacation, or should you be maybe still focusing on football for a while?
There are two schools of thought. There are one that says you spend a lot of time in the film room.
Sure.
You know, you keep studying, you keep working out, you keep yourself focused. Some people believe, and apparently coach of the Dallas Cowboys is one of them, that you need some time off. You take that week and you just get football right out of your head and you relax and you recharge and you heal up and then you come back fresh to practice and then you're ready to go the week of the
Who
game.
Do they play this week?
They
Cowboys.
Play
Giants?
Giants. Giants, yeah.
Giants.
Giants. So, should be interesting.
Can't wait. Six interceptions.
Is that what you're predicting? That should be great.
You can go to Vegas with that. I bet you can do an over-under or something on interceptions.
Oh, you can bet on anything in Vegas.
God yep.
Bless them. And, apparently winning American Idol... First of all, participating in American Idol apparently gets you a year in rehab. That's what I'm finding out
today.
But winning American Idol is no guarantee of success either. I thought it was very interesting today to find out that both Taylor Hicks and Ruben Studdard have both been dropped by their record labels today.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought Taylor Hicks was doing okay.
No, apparently not.
Nope.
Not selling a lot of records.
Is he gray hair?
He's the gray haired
yes.
dude. Yeah. And Ruben's the velvet teddy bear. The giant,
yeah.
big
fat guy.
Big giant black dude. Both of them have been dropped, so Chris Daughtry's laughing like an idiot right now.
Yeah,
he's doing well.
Right?
He's doing really well.
Yeah.
And then, some of them are huge stars. Carrie Underwood, monster star.
Huge star,
Kelly Clarkson did very well for herself. Fantasia, Barrino, She's on Broadway right now in The Color Purple.
Oh, so
sometimes it leads to success, but not always. So I'm telling all you kids out there, come on.
Give up your dreams.
That's right. Just give them up now. Crack those books.
And, right.
And get into drugs.
You're not going to make it.
No. Today's celebrity birthday is Rachel Nichols. She played Rachel Gibson on Alias. She's 28 years old today.
Frank, I want to mention again that she is also in Charlie Wilson's War, a very small part, but if you love her as I do, you'll be excited about seeing her up on the big screen.
Again. Frank Wilson's War, isn't it? Isn't that the name?
Yes, it is.
Charlie Wilson's War.
You got that name right. Interesting. Exhibit, rapper and guy who does things on television,
yep,
is 34 years old today. R. Kelly. When some more chapters? Aren't we need some more chapters, I think, for Trapped in the Closet.
30 more chapters.
He is 41 years old today. David Bowie, legendary singer, songwriter, rock star. He is 61. Stephen Hawking, legendary scientist, who, by the way, Mariah Carey said in a recent interview that she envies Stephen Hawking.
What? Why?
Because doctors have ordered her before she performs a concert to stay silent for 2 days. And she said she gets so bored writing notes, she wishes she could just think thoughts and have them come out in a robot voice like Stephen Hawking does. Apparently she believes there's some sort of chip in Steve's head that he just thinks things and then the robot talks for him.
They don't do it out of necessity. He just doesn't want to talk.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, she thinks the thoughts, though.
He just thinks the words and somehow the robot voice comes out of his chair.
I want that, too.
I think maybe she has a loose grasp on the whole concept.
She needs to be a quadriplegic, clearly.
Clearly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KRQ.
What's going on with you today?
Kind of sudden. I was expecting the whole theme.
Why are you starting that in the middle?
I didn't. That's how it's recorded.
Poor man is dead, and that's Robert Goulet, who's singing the song there. That's the way you treat his memory. I can't believe it. It's 9:08 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend James Kimmel, ladies and gentlemen, on the phone with us here on KRQ. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. How are you? I'm glad you guys are still together. I tell you what,
and in love.
Jimmy, first of all, welcome back. Thank God your show is back on the air. We really missed you for 2 months, dude.
Well, thank you. Although I have to say I didn't miss going to work, but I am glad to be back.
I was wondering, besides cook and eat, what did you do with all that time off? Because you're a guy who, I mean, you're a dude who puts a lot of hours every day into your show. How did you fill all that time?
Well, you're forgetting farting and masturbating and all the other things that I like to do.
Yeah, those two alone pretty much 90% of the day.
Now, I found plenty to do, believe me. It's amazing how little I'm able to get done when I don't have to do anything.
When there's nothing forcing you to work, you just don't do anything.
It really is. I can make a whole day out of going to the dry cleaner.
Excellent. Now, how did it come down that you're going to be – why don't you tell us what the idea that you have on Thursday?
On Thursday night, I'm going to be on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and then he's going to come over to my show and do my show.
Both on Thursday night?
Yes.
Now, I know that this kind of idea can come up often. Usually it's not responded to by anyone. Who thought of it? Was it your idea?
It was kind of a mutual thing. It's not so easy to get guests right now. And,
right.
And let's be honest, you can't do better than me.
Well, true.
But couldn't you do better than Jay Leno?
No, we just thought it would be kind of a fun thing to do, and I think, well, people seem interested in it anyway.
Has it ever happened where competitors actually went on each other's show?
Well, I think Dave did Conan a long time ago, although they weren't really competitors because they're not on against each other. So
right.
I don't know. I'm really not sure.
Now, you mentioned it's kind of tough to get guests right now. There are a lot of guests, Screen Actors Guild members and whatnot, who won't appear on any talk shows because the writer's strike is going on. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yes.
Okay. So last night, I watched some of your show last night. It was a very, very funny show. You had Kathy Griffin on, for instance. Is she just a person who just doesn't care about that? Doesn't bother her to cross the picket line?
Well, I mean, I think that, certain people are in different categories. That's what you'll see a lot of politicians doing Leno's show. And, Kathy's primarily a stand-up comic and a reality show star. I don't think she's really done any acting since, Suddenly Susan or whatever it was.
Right,
so,
right.
So it's a little bit different. They're different categories. But I think also certain people think that, I'm very happy that Letterman's writers get to go back to work and all of that. But it is a little weird that two talk shows would get their writers back and the others wouldn't.
Yeah, that is strange.
It is. Well, we made note, Jimmy, on your first night back. We talked about this the next morning. You really seemed pissed off about this situation. I'm sure, especially since you're such good friends with so many of your writers, it has been really, really tough for you to sit by and watch this happen.
It's, you know what, it's hard to explain. It's, you know, when they say, like, why can they go back and we can't? You say, well, you know, their show is, they own their show. And really, I mean, essentially what happens is everybody goes into work and does a show and then it goes on to the network. So, you know, yes, they own the show, but it is it's a minor technicality. And anybody that says it isn't is kidding themselves.
No, you're right. You're right. This is Jimmy Kimmel we're talking to on the phone. His show, of course, comes on just after midnight on Channel 7, ABC, weeknights. And this Thursday, one of his guests will be Jay Leno. Jimmy will be on Jay's show on NBC a couple minutes earlier. What kind of relationship do you have with Jay?
Gay.
Really?
We do gay stuff together.
Play tennis and stuff?
Sometimes we get on his steam-powered jalopy and we just ride around. I sit in the back. I just wrap my arms around him. And
that's
we drive
nice.
Through Burbank
that's
waving
very sweet.
At people.
I remember, Jimmy, what a thrill it was for you when you went on the Letterman show as a guest because you idolized Dave when you were growing up. Now that you're a talk show host yourself, is it a big deal for you to be a guest on the Mother Effin' Tonight Show on NBC, or is it just another weird day for you?
No, it's, you know, it's definitely a big deal. I mean, it's definitely weird. The whole thing is weird. I mean, being in the middle of this whole thing is just, I never get over the fact that it's weird. I mean, last night, Scott Baio was on the show, and my Uncle Frank grabbed him as he was trying to leave, and he had him in a clutch, and he's talking to him, and all I can think of was, my Uncle Frank is talking to Scott Baio.
That is really weird.
You must find yourself in so many situations that you just, if somebody had told you 10 years ago that you'd be doing these things, you wouldn't have believed them.
It really is absolutely ridiculous about 90% of the time.
Now, I don't want to get you in trouble with the network. I really don't. But have you heard from them about the bits that you play to try and get the writers more money?
You know, they're fine with it. I mean, they think it's fine. And you know, I mean, it's a big corporate negotiation, but it's also a human thing, and the people that oversee our show also know all of our writers and
right.
worry about the writers, and you know, everybody's got to kind of take care of their own little group of people.
Mm. Now that the Golden Globes have been canceled, Jimmy, do you think that that's going to be the impetus to maybe get people at least back to the table and talking to one another?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, good.
I think that, you know, once these things get canceled, then you have less of a reason to speak to each other. I don't know that NBC has any more award shows or anything big like that coming up for a long time. So in a way, I don't know that I think it takes NBC out of the game a little bit.
Wow. By the way, let's not look past the most significant thing that I found out about Jimmy on his show last night is that his Uncle Frank, the kindly old white-haired gentleman that you see in the policeman's uniform on Jimmy's show each night, has had sex with more than 500 women.
I thought you were kidding when you said that.
No, I'm not. I mean, he didn't come up with the number himself. We sat down and hashed it out.
I thought you were joking.
No.
Are you kidding?
No, because he was a cop in New York, and for 10 years, he said there was a 10-year period where he averaged about one girl a week. My Uncle Frank was very clever. Like, in the 50s, they didn't have bikinis, really, in the United States. It was a thing from France. So
right.
he went to Paris and bought, like, 100 bikinis. And they would invite girls over to their apartment and then tell them they had bikinis, and they'd go crazy. And then they'd have the girls model the bikinis, and they'd let him keep one. Essentially, he was trading clothing for sex.
I can't think of your Uncle Frank like that. It just doesn't – when you said that, I blew it off as a punchline.
Oh, yeah. He's still every once in a while.
Oh, no.
That just must be so humiliating for you, who's a national celebrity, Jimmy, and Uncle Frank laps you like 20-fold in the check department.
Uncle Frank has had sex with more women in his 70s than I've had in my life.
Oh, man. That's painful right there.
That is fantastic. Wow.
Well, I'm shocked at that. I was really just discounting that.
He's never had a venereal disease, which I find very difficult to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's so funny because back in the old days, pre-TV days for Jimmy, we'd go to New York and broadcast for the MTV show or something, and Jimmy would always say, oh, you got to get my Uncle Frank on. Let's have him come down as a guest. The guy's unbelievable, and you were so right. Now look at him. It's amazing.
Well, if you ever want to interrogate him at length, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to talk for 3, 4, maybe even 5 hours.
If I'm not mistaken, Jimmy, if my memory doesn't fail me, we turned him down every time, didn't we?
No, we had him on.
Oh, did
we? Uncle Frank in. Yeah, sure.
No, we had, remember he talked about how I walk up 20th, then I walked down, right. You know, you guys had a mark.
I totally forgot about that.
Wow. First taste of show business.
I love it. All right, Jimmy Kimmel back on the TV tonight with a new show just after midnight on ABC, and then tomorrow night, and then Thursday, of course, it's going to be history in the making as Jay Leno is Jimmy's guest, and Jimmy is Jay Leno's guest on the Tonight Show on NBC. I think that's going to be cool. Jim, I hope we get to see you in person again soon. Doesn't seem like we've seen much of you lately, dude.
Yeah, that's because you live on an island in, Moldavia
or something. Moldavia, yeah. All right, Jim, thanks. Your phone calls are next with Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067.
Ralph, if what? You're still pumped up, still pumped up from last night. That's what I'm telling you.
From American Gladiators?
Yes. Greatest show on television.
Really?
Oh, I love it so.
I don't know why that's missing me.
Because you are not a winner.
I saw 700 commercials for it while watching football over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it just didn't look good.
And then you tuned in and said, nope. This is so cool.
Didn't tune in.
I watched some of it on Sunday night, Ralph, and I thought it was awful.
Well,
I got to
be
honest.
Bean, it is a lot of people doing very active things. I can't imagine it really is the show
I do
for
hate
you.
That.
Had it been someone, you know, reading a screen or a book or something, you probably would have been able to enjoy
it. Ralph,
more.
If you're in here, who's going to do the Hulkster?
The Hulkster. Bean does the Hulkster. You know
I do not do the Hulkster. Bean don't even know.
Okay.
I don't do voices.
Excellent.
Ralph is the voice guy. I don't
Excellent.
Do the Hulkster. The Hulkster is the host, though, right?
Yes,
of the
he
show?
Is. Gladiators is back, and although I do desperately miss Larry Zonka, who was the original
the
host, was the original host
he
of American Gladiators.
He was the
Gladiator.
Host of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Zonka did it with, who else was it, Mike? Who was his
Where's
co-host, remember?
Was it Matt Vasgersian?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it really Someone, doesn't
it
matter.
It was like a normal broadcast.
But now it's, it's the Hulkster. It's Hulk Hogan and Leila Ali.
Muhammad Ali's daughter.
Yeah,
okay.
Who is a boxer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the hosts of the show. And I could do with a little less hosting.
Do they fight with giant Q-tips over water and fall in?
They're not Q-tips,
whatever.
Man.
I don't know what they are. Giant
the
Q-tips.
Joust. The joust. These people just smacking each other with these giant
Q-tips.
Padded
Q-tips.
Sticks.
That are Q-tips, really.
You know
just
what?
Bigger.
I can bring one in and hit you in the head with it. You tell me if it's a Q-tip.
Is this where we go to Hulk?
No, it's not where we go to Hulk. I got some
no
clips
Hulk.
For you.
All right.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good, because I don't understand this the competition's like, it's not, I don't understand, why is one guy chasing another guy up the side of a pyramid? How is that an event? I don't even get it.
It is an excellent example of
meaningless
physical prowess that you don't have to be specialized in. You don't have to have spent years playing football or basketball or whatever in order to compete in this. It is a grueling physical competition, but it is filled with activities that are basic enough that almost anyone can participate.
But if your older brother and sister used to shoot tennis balls at you out of a cannon, do they still do that one?
Did you get hit? Did you get hit with the tennis balls and they shot them out of the cannon?
Sometimes.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. This one, you have to avoid it. That's the eliminator. You keep going. And then if you get them with one of your weapons, they get thrown off into the giant pool of water.
I see. Okay.
You cannot watch the show and not get caught up in it. You
that's
can't.
Possible.
When you watch the eliminator, the final round, which is the giant obstacle course,
right.
You can't help but root for these people and watch the competition, the neck and neck competition when they're going up the travelator.
The travelator.
Yeah.
All right, President Bush. Well,
it's a giant treadmill. That's going the opposite way that you have to try to run up. And then there's a rope at the top about halfway. If you grab the rope, you can kind of pull your way up. But these two guys were competing last night. I mean, they went up and would slip and fall down. And they're both right on the precipice of winning. But neither one could get a foothold enough. And just when you think one guy, he would fall down again. It's
I like
very
when people
dramatic.
Fall. I do
very
like that.
Very dramatic.
All right.
Jeff versus Adonis last night.
Oh, Adonis. He's
Adonis
good.
Was a brother from Detroit.
And Jeff was the redneckiest redneck you've ever seen in your life from Tennessee. I wanted to kick him right in the head. Right. I was so glad he lost to Adonis, because every time they would interview, the Hulkster or Layla would interview him before an event,
right,
he had some cornpone BS story he was telling about
his Dr. Philism?
Life growing up in Tennessee. They asked him at one event, he had to get through a bunch of gladiators. You have to go down this this hallway, sort of, and they've got these giant padded things trying to block you, and you have to get past them all the way to the end to get a certain number of points.
Right.
And so he got all the way down, and they asked him how he did it.
It's all just a big blur. As soon as they said go, I just took off running, acted like I stole something, and just headed my way through.
Yes. Acted like I stole something. Shut up. Then they have one of these events where you have to climb the rock wall.
Okay.
They give you a head start. All right, you start climbing the rock wall. Then one of these giant behemoths of a gladiator, one of the professional gladiators, comes after you. And he's chasing after you. And if they can grab you and pull you off the wall into this giant pool of water underneath you, you lose. So you have to try to scamper up this wall before this giant, massive dude catches you.
And throws you in a vat of pudding?
Can you wait and kick him in the
head? No, you can't kick him in the head.
Oh, well, how do we know?
You can avoid him, right?
You got to get to the top of the rock wall before the guy catches you.
Okay.
If you can hold on to the rock wall while he's clawing at you, you can, but you can't physically kick him in the face or anything.
The idea is to beat him up there so you can get up first.
Right,
and he can't grab him.
Okay. To avoid him.
Is this a show that would not have been on the air under any circumstances unless there were a writer's strike?
No, I don't buy that for a minute. They had this in plans before the writer's strike.
I think they did too, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's how Jeff – this was Jeff's – this is how he attributed his success in the rock wall climb.
So I was just thinking back to childhood, you know, when I'd get in trouble. My mom would chase me with the belt, so I was just trying to get up the tree like I did when I was a kid. And so that's all I could do.
Yeah, thank God for child abuse.
He's got this.
My mom would beat me with a belt. He gave me the motivation to get up the rock wall.
That guy's got the same answer for every question.
He really does. Then he in the earthquake event, they put you on this giant round platform that's got cables connected to it.
Right.
And you have to wrestle with a guy and try to knock him off the platform while it's going
moves
back and forth, gyrating with these cables, pulling it up and down.
I think that sounds like something I could probably get into if I watched
it's awesome.
That's true.
And here's how Jeff beat this guy.
All right. He was a little bit slippery, but, you know, it's just like hog wrestling at the fair. Took care of him.
Just like hog wrestling at the fair.
Wow.
Hey, I didn't Jeff know there would be something so hateable. Oh, man. I wanted to see him bleed.
I'm in now.
And but the show is filthy, too.
What do you mean filthy?
Like filthy, dirty, sexy, filthy.
What?
I didn't see anything like that.
Well, you weren't watching very closely. Christy, one of the female contestants,
yeah,
she has to go up against one of the female gladiators in this series of they have these rings like a gymnast use.
Right.
And you have to swing across the ceiling while the gladiator is coming at you the other side.
Okay.
And this is what she said about the woman she was about to face, and it was graphically sexual. I couldn't believe it hit the air.
Are you ready for Venom up there?
I'm ready. My mama's here, and she told me to make her get wet.
Oh, that's just a lie.
Whoa.
That is out of line.
Wow, I didn't realize it was
okay,
sexy.
Explain the pink.
Yeah, very sexy show. And then they have one of the giant gladiators named Wolf.
Wolf. Okay.
Because he's got a beard.
Sure.
And Wolf?
Wolf, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're
and by the way, his catchphrase every time they say, are you ready, Wolf? He goes, arr!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's how Wolf says when he's ready. I'm telling you, the guys are the best. The gladiators are the best.
I didn't realize they'd be hateable.
First of all, they got Militia, who's do gay porn. He's my favorite.
Okay.
And right, then you've got Wolf. And so Wolf was filthy, too, talking about the guy he was going up against.
How about it, Wolf?
I'm smelling fear, I'm smelling blood, and I'm going to eat you.
I think that's out.
God's sakes, that's too much.
It's on when kids could watch.
What the hell's up with the Hulkster, by the way? He has to talk like that all the time?
He's the best.
Hey, brother.
What do we have on the phone? Don't we talk to the host of American Gladiator?
Oh, as a matter of fact, we do have
Hulk Hogan.
The Hulkster.
Don't we have him?
Hey, Hulk.
Hello, brothers. How are you?
We're good. Doing.
I can't believe you make me do this.
How do you like hosting American Gladiators, the new one?
I'm terrible. You can see my eyes move as I read the cue cards.
Is that right? I didn't realize.
I got no game.
How's it working with Layla Ali?
She's kind of hot, but I got to tell you, have you seen Titan's ass?
Are you even trying to do the voice anymore?
Come on, Bean.
You got to hold straight up.
You haven't given up on the voice.
You haven't said bro once. Isn't that the bit? Say bro.
Brother.
Say, come on, brother. Come on.
I don't know what you're talking about, brother.
Thank you.
It's time to put your phone calls on the air.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Listen up, brothers. 1-800-520-1000.
Oh, yeah. Now you're doing it.
Now he's in full impression mode.
not a good time?
Too
late?
How about a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, where right now, for the price of a single day, you get all of 2008 free, or as our friend Dewan likes to say, 2008 for life.
That's right.
He does one impression, and he drops it halfway into the bit.
He never said brother the whole time.
No. He's like, hey, come to me.
He's like, yeah, I can't hardly read the teleprompter. My eyes are moving. It's like, just dropped it.
Look, we're not professionals.
No commitment.
I am not a winner.
Let's begin with Tim in Hollywood. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, guys. What a do.
What a do.
What a do.
Hey, all right, Ralph, I gotta say, man, I want to bet you that I know what the monster is in Cloverfield.
You've already seen the monster?
No, I have not seen it. I have seen no more of the trailer than you guys have.
Oh, so you're just guessing what the monster is because we don't know yet.
No, I'm guessing. I do have evidence based on the trailer of what it actually is.
You're not going to say it's Godzilla, are you?
Absolutely not. What kind of lame ass would I be?
Pretty lame.
That's what we were
pretty
trying
lame.
To figure out.
All right, so yeah. You're
there's
saying
a big rumor going around that it's a new Godzilla movie, but J.J. Abrams said it's not the case. It was inspired by the famous Godzilla movies, but it's not Godzilla.
Couldn't it be something like Godzilla then?
I'm sure it could be a dinosaur-type monster like that.
What did you see in the trailers, Tim, that you think gives you the clue?
The scars on the Statue of Liberty.
The scars on the Statue of Liberty.
Interesting.
All right, so what's your conclusion then, Tim?
Well, how do we do this? I mean, like,
we're not betting, dude.
Yeah, you don't we're not get betting. It just tell us what you think.
I do believe it is a squid dragon.
A squid monster. Dragon monster.
Yes.
Oh, the legendary squid dragon.
What's the mark on
there's another one of those?
What's the mark on the Statue of Liberty that makes you think it's a squid dragon?
You can tell there's a bunch of slashes.
Slashes.
That are in an up motion.
Well, then why can't it be Wolverine or something?
Why would it be Ben-Vereen?
Did you say Ben-Vereen?
I said Wolverine.
Oh, why couldn't it be Ben-Vereen? No.
Hey, my skills are telling me that I am 100%.
All right, you hold
why
on.
Would you say squid dragon?
Yeah, wouldn't it be suction cup marks?
I thought maybe he was going to say, I saw, you know, those tentacle marks all over it. But
you guys don't seriously want to talk to him more, do you?
No.
Okay, good. Just checking.
No, we've moved on.
Because that with squid dragon.
It seemed like you
did. The other guess is Ben-Vereen.
Chris in Anaheim, good morning.
Hey, what it do, brothers?
What it do, brother?
What it do,
brother?
What it do, brothers?
Hey, do you think we could get Bean to fill in for Hogan's spot?
Are you kidding?
I sure hope so.
I think he would do a better job than Hogan on these interviews.
And it's uncanny how much he sounds just like him. It's like he's in the room.
He totally does. Hey, Ralph,
am I lying, though, Chris? Hulk Hogan is horrible on that show.
The interview process is terrible. I think I basically turned my sound down on the TV and just listened to or just watched them, you know?
You know, I really could do without the whole interview part of the show and just watch the competition because that's really the fun part.
That guy said the same thing to every question.
Yeah, you don't remember need to when know I was Jeff from Tennessee and what his strategy is going into the joust.
Bean, how is it that you would host American Gladiators if you were to start right now?
I would not. That's the answer
come
to that question.
On!
Let's talk to Eddie. He's on line 6, and he's in Gardena. He has a very bad Vegas story that apparently is not staying in Las Vegas. Good morning, Eddie. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do, Eddie?
What happened in Vegas,
well, I don't know if it's just a bad, you know.
What happened?
But anyway, this week, last weekend, me and my girl, her mom, went over to Vegas. You know, just some gambling we do occasionally. And, you know, one thing led to another, and me and the mom.
One
thing led to another, me and the mom.
Who are these moms, by the way? Who are these moms that are banging their daughters' boyfriends?
No.
Where was your girlfriend when this happened, Eddie?
Well, the thing is, we split up and go to different casinos. Cause, you know, she likes to go see shows. I like to just gamble, do some blackjack, and, you know.
Bang her mom.
Bang her mom.
I got other things to do.
Does your girlfriend know about it yet?
She seems a little suspicious because, you know, afterwards when she met up with us, she looked being a little weird with each other. So.
Who's calling BS on Eddie's story
me.
Right now?
All of us.
Me.
Sounds bogus.
I don't think it sounds bogus.
I don't think there's a mom out there that would sleep with Eddie. Do you?
I don't think there's a woman out there that would sleep with Eddie, not just a mom. Plus, Eddie, the reason I asked if your girlfriend knew about it is if she doesn't, if you haven't had that conversation, even you wouldn't be stupid enough to call and talk about it on the radio.
Beg to differ. I think you would.
I agree with Kevin. I bet.
All right, good. All right, we're calling BS on you.
But I don't think it happened either.
All right, let's go to John in Orange. Good morning, John. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephews? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do, John?
What it do?
Hey, listen, guys. I was doing a little channel surfing yesterday and picked up on a little Lycus, you know, that D-bag.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Tom Lycus, yes?
He was bagging on you guys. He was
what
saying
for now?
He well, Danny bought a D-bag was on there, and you know he got kicked off Corolla, right?
Right.
All crying about it. And they were saying, oh, Kevin and Bean can't do a radio show, let alone put out any, you know, like you guys mentored them.
Well, hold on. Can't use that language on the radio.
Yeah, we can't say the S word, unfortunately. It's a new law, but...
Hello, Kevin and Bean!
All right. Tom, we don't have time for this. I don't even know why you're here.
Tom? You guys are awful!
Tom,
can't
I didn't
do
even...
a radio show. I, on the other hand, do a radio show.
Right, right.
I've done the same radio show every day for the past 5 years.
That's true.
It's actually the same show.
Yeah.
You just play it over and over and over again.
I didn't even understand what John was saying he heard you say yesterday on the radio. You were saying our show is not good or is not popular or both or what?
Unbelievably bad.
But that's a surprise to who, Tom? Who's that? Who are you talking to there?
Do you care?
Not really.
No. Things out. Now that's how you do radio.
Can you even have a conversation with anyone anymore? Is it just one catchphrase after another?
Attention heart. Smack in the ass. Flash Friday.
Well, what does that even mean? That doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Answer the question.
He is.
I didn't ask a question.
He said yes 6 times.
Do you care?
Okay, that's fine.
Thanks, up.
I want to thank all of our special guests on today's show, including Jim Berry, the spokesperson for the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, for joining us. What? What, Tom?
Come on, Tom. Seriously.
How to get more tail for less money.
Take a break.
We're not doing that right now.
Really?
Thanks to Rich DeMuro joining us. He's the technology reporter for CBS KCAL. You ought to go to krock.com. Check out the Kevin and Bean video page.
You're going to crack the ass at CES.
Nope. You got to see these LA Jedi Knights that are fighting. It's very
dumb. Dump that bitch.
What bitch are you talking about? And I want to thank talk show host Jimmy Kimmel for joining us with an all-new Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight at midnight on ABC. Don't forget, Thursday night he welcomes Jay Leno as his guest, and Jimmy will be a guest on Jay Leno's Tonight Show on NBC as well.
Really? Unbelievable.
In contrast to Bean's Hulk, Lycus does not seem to be leaving.
Tomorrow morning, an impression that is here to stay.
That's commitment to excellence.
Tomorrow morning, we've got an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Really?
We have Tommy Lee Jones.
Do you care?
On the program, Academy Award winner.
Yeah, he's a hell of an actor. Why wouldn't we care about that, Tom?
Didn't think so.
We have Drew Carey on the program tomorrow.
Give him a smack in the ass.
And we have more breakfast with Foo Fighter tickets.
Attention, horse.
Tomorrow, stop. Just stop shouting stuff.
I like wine.
That's all tomorrow.
Why are you wearing your sunglasses inside, Tom?
Future's so bright. Gotta wear shades.
All right.
How about new Radiohead straight ahead? Also, Incubus, The Ramones, Linkin Park, Green Day, and more. It's Jed the Fish filling in for Cat Corbin. Coming up next, right after this, world famous K-Rock.
Did things up.